The Sentai Review, episode 177, The Next Mutation.
Four green turtles heard the news, changed to mutants by an ooze. Found on the floor, grazed by a rat, now they're ninjas, how about that? Check it out, a fifth one found, covered with ooze in Chinatown. Sent away, but now she's live, with the rest, yeah, that makes five.
So here we are. We're here now.
Look, Shane, we know that you've held us up and stalled as long as you can. I'll stall for like another 2 minutes for you. Because I realized something. This is our fault. The world right now is our fault. When this shitty show came out, there was like Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks and planes were falling out of the sky and earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and all sorts of crazy shit. Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Over the last fucking week, planes have fallen out of the sky. People have gotten into trouble.
Sick.
Crazy weather fucking events. People are getting sick. College students being jackasses again. Terrorist bombings and shootings. This is our fucking fault. And we're sorry, universe. We had to drag up the fucking show that brings forth all the chaos.
Wait, we already did that. That was Saban's Mass Rider.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
So this is part new.
I argue that Saban's Mass Rider is better than this.
It's no, I agree to that.
Because there's no expectation behind
you
it.
You know what?
Yeah, after watching both, no, I agree to that.
You have opened my eyes, Seth.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. It's our fault, and we can rectify this now. Thank you guys for watching the show. Bye.
Nope.
Because we have to talk about the watching of the show.
Bye. Nope. Afraid not.
No.
I don't know, we can have a nice recap at the end, do our, like, Kai version, but...
Yeah.
If I just start acting dumber and dumber and dumber as this goes on, it's because my brain cells are gone from watching said show. Show sucks.
All of our brain cells
suck. All of us!
Shane, here's how we'll do this. We will review everything, and then for, like, the last, like, 3 minutes, we will let you do your own version of Bill's unabridged, unedited review of Soul Calibur 5.
You will give me that honor.
Welcome to I Collect, where I show you what I have collected today. This thing fucking sucks!
Doesn't he smack it?
Yes, he slaps a box, but we don't have a box to slap.
Reploid Bill, William Bush.
Shut the level, sorry.
Scott Action Jackson.
Oh God, please help.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone. Okay, so...
My face hurts from the smiling.
We gotta get a little laughter out while we can, because we're gonna suffer some more.
All right. God damn it. Dude, this was an awful fucking experience.
Yes.
Welcome to what we went through.
It was legitimately a fucking awful experience.
Yeah.
So.
And the only thing that makes it worse is because I watched this with my girlfriend, we have to put the subtitles on just because both of our hearing is bad. So sometimes we need it. First of all, if you're watching this off Netflix, the subtitles are, one, wrong 90% of the time, and two, off by about a good 10 seconds all of the time. So if you're deaf, congratulations, you can't watch this piece of shit. I get better closed captioning out of just hitting closed caption on a fucking YouTube video and letting the auto captions do it.
So what you're telling me is that they got spared, lucky bastards.
Yes. Sons of bitches.
I would apologize to any deaf people listening to the show, but that would be weird regardless.
No, I'm not, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but no, that they got lucky on that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Think about it. Netflix's closed cap subtitles don't work on this show. That doesn't surprise me.
So what was the beginning of this awfulness?
Well, probably one of the most unique titles I've ever seen. East Meets West. Part one.
China.
Yes. Okay. There's one thing we have to address before we do anything. Because here we're talking about episodes. This is episodes 1 through 5. That's yep. How long this went, this first part.
Yeah, for the pilot.
Right.
Okay, I gotta be honest with you. I gotta get something off my chest.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. When I loaded up Netflix to watch this, I saw something. I saw the red bar underneath episode 1, which means somewhere along the lines, my dumbass watched the first episode. So guess what I did? I did not rewatch it. I'm like, episode 2!
No.
I don't remember a fucking thing from episode 1.
Do you realize what made it even worse? When I was watching some of these episodes on Netflix, because my girlfriend has Netflix, somebody rated this 3 stars out of 5.
Kill him.
Who the fuck rates the show 3 stars out of 5.
Who gives this thing a star? A star usually means that you did a good job. No, you didn't do a good job.
I don't know who the fuck is giving stars, because on my phone, I can either give a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or leave it the fuck alone.
I give it a shit.
So I left it the fuck alone like I never touched the motherfucker like that? No, not me,
why
man.
Can't,
no.
Why doesn't Netflix let us put what we want to put? I would put a shit emoji.
So like every single thing of Power Rangers we've discussed, step one is to discuss the first episode and the continuity. Now, this supposedly takes place off the continuity of the first 3 movies.
Yep,
somehow.
Wait a minute.
It makes perfect sense.
Oh, that's interesting.
But how much time away from the 3rd movie?
No, it makes perfect sense. No. I'll explain it to you.
I've even got a note that actually agrees that, yes, this is in the same continuity.
Okay, what is your note?
So my note, which is the about 10th note, because I actually took good notes for episode 1, and then decided I needed alcohol or something to get through this, so I quit taking notes. Splinter literally yells at the guys saying, "You guys are 17 going on 18. Which is also going on canceled forever.
Found it.
Found what?
Never mind. I did not know that they... Because I don't know if Netflix will have it.
What?
The special features, the bonus Power Rangers in Space episode.
No, that's during the Power Rangers episode.
That's what we have to discuss. Okay. That's when we go to space and we start talking about that, because that happens very early in the first 15 episodes of Space.
Fourth episode.
It's
the fourth episode. I kind of got ahead of myself. I got to go back and rewatch, but I watched the first 17 episodes of Space before you told me to stop it.
Well, okay, here. We got to stay on track here, because, look, getting off track on this is going to be a nightmare, because we'll talk about this forever.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what's going on. This continuity is right, and I'll explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of theories when it comes to time travel. One of those theories is the snap effect, that things are not actually changed until the events catch up. So it's kind of like when you send Wolverine back in time. It didn't automatically change everything. It doesn't change until his consciousness snaps back, and then everything warps around him.
Yes. Which is what happened at the end of Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Okay.
You going to talk about the butterfly effect?
They changed something in the past that was a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
Probably when Donnie landed on the frog.
No. No, there is a legitimate thing that they changed in the past that is a huge, 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 huge motherfucking deal.
They involved themselves in that war.
And why is that significant?
Because that war was supposed to go on a lot longer.
Not just that.
Mm-hmm.
that little rebel faction
yep.
was supposed to lose.
Mm-hmm. But they won.
But they won. They combine, they grow into a force alongside these two people now, and the Lord and those people, they form one force and move through time. Why is this important? Because years ago, there was a great warlord
mm-hmm.
who then spawned a society, who would become a dark society, who would raise into warriors of the Foot Clan and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. The Shadow Warrior. This didn't happen. The Foot was irreparably changed because people that were supposed to live, or people that were supposed to live, some people that were supposed to live may have died in that mm-hmm. conflict. And people that were supposed to die more than likely lived.
Yep.
And went forward in time. And this is incredibly important. It's the exact same thing that's hitting Star Trek Discovery right now. People are mad because it's different. But I am going to tell you something you're not going to like. Star Trek Discovery is, in fact, the prime timeline. And looks exactly the way it is supposed to look. Because the Zindi attacked Earth. And in the original continuity, that never fucking happened. But because Enterprise happened, and the temporal Cold War saw an attack on our planet that killed 6,000 plus people.
7 million.
Yeah, it was like 7 million people. 7 million fucking people died that were not supposed to die. That's what happened when the Zindi attacked Earth. And because the time never corrected itself, it never said, okay, now that we fixed this, the Zindi attack never happened. The Zindi attack is referenced, which means the Zindi attack happened, even though in the original continuity, it did not fucking happen. Which means the prime timeline is irreparably changed because certain people that would have grown up to establish the foundations of the Federation were not there. And other people who grew up that lived in that tragedy grew up to form the foundations of the Federation, showing us that now this guy named Jeffrey Doofus, he was originally the guy that decided that he was going to design an Enterprise. He was one guy of a billion, of a couple thousand fucking people on a fleet of engineers that designed the Enterprise. But because that guy's fucking grandfather died in a 7 million people fucking attack, now Jeffrey Doofus never got to be born, and instead Segway Bob came the fuck in and designed mm-hmm. the fucking Enterprise, which is why the Enterprise looks the way it does in Discovery. You take that same course of reasoning and you apply it to the Turtles, and you realize that while Oroko Saki was still born, and so was Amato Yoshi,
something changed.
Something mm-hmm. changed. And you notice that the Foot is nowhere near the villains they were meant to be.
Yeah.
And this changes the Ninja Turtles
and even
as well.
Shredder was mm-hmm. way different.
This changes yep. the Ninja Turtles. Why? Because we rise to meet our enemies. Our rivals are important in the course of our lives.
Yep.
If somebody does better than you at Dead or Alive, and you fight them enough, you do better at Dead or Alive. We strive through our own perseverance to be the people that we will be by challenging ourselves on the people that came before us. If the great actors of the past had not done great things, greater actors would not have come up, seen those things, learned from them, and developed from that.
Yep.
The fact that Oroko Saki is so irreparably changed affected our Turtles. They have never, mm-hmm. they were never challenged like they were in the first movie, because the first movie now did not happen the same way. And why? Because there is no April and there is no Casey Jones.
Yeah. Yep.
And that might sound like a small thing, but whatever happened in their family lines and the events of time that led up to New York City today instead of New York City then
mm-hmm.
means that she never pushed the foundation, and she never said, hey, there's this thing called the Foot, and the Foot never attacked April, and the Turtles never got involved.
Yep.
The Turtles fought Shredder like a Saturday evening cartoon show, because that's the kind of man he is now, which also put in motion what the Turtles are right now. The timeline is right. This does take place in the same continuity as the first three movies, because we changed something when we sent the turtles back. And when they came back and reality fixed itself and solidified, just like in Flashpoint, where the Flash was slowly losing memories and becoming the person that he had lived that life through Flashpoint. Remember that. He slowly started gaining memories that he'd never had because time corrected itself.
Basically, it's what Zoom says.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Break the sound barrier, there's a sonic boom. Break the time barrier, time boom.
Yep.
We sent ripples through the fabric of time, and it's the Hitler theory. It really is the Hitler theory. This is amazingly important. Years ago, Hitler was drowning. Somebody saved his life. This is true. This happened.
Yep.
Somebody saved his life, and he went on to kill a lot of fucking people.
Yep. If you let baby Hitler drown, guess what? Those people still live.
But one of those people that live may be a negative repercussion on the time stream. Mm-hmm. That gives Germany the atom bomb. Yep. And changes the fabric of everything from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
One person, somewhere, in a timeline, can irreparably change everything to a strong foundation that is almost unrecognizable. And we sent four turtles back in time to play samurai when they didn't know the culture, didn't understand the circumstances, and punched and kicked anything that they thought was against their moral code.
Yep.
And it caused the death of the only cool villain since Shredder from the first movie.
And Bird Guy, I'm going to tell you this, Bird Guy was probably supposed to live.
Yep.
The fact that Bird Guy falls off of a fucking building.
Because he was the one that supplied
and he would have supplied weapons that would have destroyed that little fucking village of wannabes.
Yeah, because ninjas. Because he had guns. He had cannons.
And to make matters worse, because Bird Dipshit was basically using his thumb to hold fucking great 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 granddaddy Casey. Sorry, I had to look at my watch to make sure I had enough
grades. That's true, too.
He had Granddaddy Casey under his fucking thumb. That means Casey Jones could have fucking grown the fuck up to be some rich motherfucker instead of blue-collar, I'm going to go out and fight crime dude.
The ancestor of Casey was supposed to remain under the ownership or employment of Bird Guy.
Yep.
And then from whatever happened from that point, maybe he would have broke off from Bird Guy, but he might have met somebody and he started a family line. Well, because Bird Guy's not there, he breaks off earlier than he's supposed to, and he never meets that one bitch, lady, woman, love, whatever you want to call her. And because that one fucking meeting never happened, the other Casey in the timeline is born different and in a different place and in a different time. And every single person that Casey's family line would have ever infected, even in the slightest, and I'm telling you have no idea how important this is. Casey Jones' great-great-grandfather was supposed to stand in line for a coffee in front of your great-great-grandfather 110 years ago. But because Casey's ancestor was born different, because Bird Guy died, he didn't stand in line, and your grandfather got his coffee like one man earlier than he was supposed to get it, and because of that was not in the traffic accident that caused him to meet his future wife.
Yep.
It really is. There is a reason.
It's like that multiverse thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's literally, it's like multiverse, like, go to Back to the Future. You're only going one generation back. That's it. The most you could do is erase yourself.
And he did erase himself. And he did. No, he didn't just erase himself. He did irreparably affect the timeline. Because when he comes back, there's almost nothing recognizable. There's things that are still there, but Lone Pine Mall is now a thing. It was not.
Yeah, it used to be
The Twin Pines Mall, which means that certain shops inside that mall are probably different. And small fashion trends are probably different because he accidentally created fucking rock and roll.
Yep. Not only that, but look at his parents. They weren't a happy
Completely
couple.
Fucking
they
different
They were sad people. Now look at them.
Which also, and you also, you notice, his brother had a different job, which means his brother influenced different people he was never supposed
because
to fucking meet.
His brother was a pizza delivery boy.
He was never supposed to meet the people that he is currently influencing, which changes time from that point on irreparably. You're talking generations back we fucked something
and
up.
And you're also forgetting that Biff influenced people. Because Biff was a big, mean guy. But in the but in 1985, after fucking Marty changed things, Biff was a bitch.
Which means he didn't make the influence that he did. Like, this is important because it does tell us what happened to the Turtles. It explains why their weapons are different. It explains why Splinter's missing an ear but did not go through the ordeal that he did in part one.
He didn't miss, he's only missing like a chip of an ear.
Shredder is not nearly...
But he does reference
as good.
He does reference missing an ear.
Right, but Shredder's not nearly as good as he was.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's
not. Not to mention
near.
The fact that Shredder is still fucking alive when Turtles 2 Shredder is fucking dead.
But
because wood is his only weakness.
This Shredder never fell into a garbage truck off a roof because they never had a confrontation that severe.
We never got oops.
The Turtles, and even if he had fallen, there would have been no oops. There is no Casey Jones.
Yeah, there's no oops, I murdered someone.
Yeah.
No, it's just he fell into a dumpster.
There's no April. Whatever they changed affected them, because they have different weapons.
Oh, it affected them in a different way, too. I caught it. It's not in the first episode. It's like in the second episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, what do they consider themselves?
Quote, ninja.
Other brothers.
Yeah.
Venus even says, you guys are brothers. And Leo was like, no, we're not brothers.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Donatello, never having to actually situate himself into combat warrior mode, just stayed on his technological curve, increasing his intelligence. And one day, his intelligence led him to a very important question. Are we related? And the truth of the matter is, no matter how much you hate this little change, this makes a lot of sense. They were store pets, which means they were bred on a turtle farm, which means more than likely, none of these motherfuckers are related. They're stockbred.
Because Venus even asks, I'm not your sister? No.
So after Donatello does a little research, he tells the guys, look, we may be brothers, but by what I'm seeing here, we're not brothers. We don't have the same mommy.
We're brothers by bond, not by blood.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. That's like the four of us sitting here right now.
And
we're brothers by bond, not by blood.
Because time was changed.
And also
one
changed
turtle
Splinter.
Led this to this to this to all these different things, and that kid did not buy four turtles. He bought five that day.
And
when he dropped that fucking canister, when he dropped his glass bowl onto the sewer vent, and the turtles fell into the sewer vent, they all fell into the ooze. But Venus fell towards the side of the ooze, and before Splinter showed up, she'd crawled out of the ooze and fallen into the rush of water that was to the side and was taken down somewhere else.
And took her down
and discovered by another person.
Yes.
This other man that found her, Shifu, I believe was his name, Shifu or whatever, he finds her, and he doesn't know she's a mutant. He's on his way back home, and he happens to find a little turtle that's flapping around, and that's a sign of good luck. He takes her with him, only to find out the next day after he's back in fucking China that she's doubled in size. So he probably tries to look it up, like this turtle's getting really big for this aquarium. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And then the next day she's even bigger. And the next day she stood the fuck up. And he said, I think I've got something different here.
This isn't a normal turtle.
This isn't quite what I thought it was.
And then it starts talking.
And guess what? We don't know where he came from. But he's part of a warrior society that studies ancient shinobi magic and is responsible for sealing away an evil that our planet doesn't know about. Well, you know what's very interesting about this? Learning magic in texts and rumors and Oni, he remembers a legend that many, many years ago, there were these four fucking monsters that appeared and took down a warlord. And irreparably changed things for the better. We put that in quotations. Because the time you're living in is always the time that you assume is the one that should continue.
Is it?
Right.
She mentions shinobi.
She always says shinobi.
But isn't shinobi Japanese?
Yes.
Isn't Oni Japanese?
Yes.
But why they call? Why they say China?
Because maybe that's where he ended up.
Yeah.
I understand China.
Remember the Japanese occupation.
Yeah.
He can go to China. That's not that outrageous.
Oh, you know what? No, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. The Japanese occupation of China could have changed things, changed their culture, I believe, in some ways.
But you see, because all this, he knows about these monster things.
Yep.
And he's like, I have one of those monster things. She must be important. So he endowed her with all the wisdom of his clan and trained her as a martial artist and a mage-level shinobi.
And a mystic.
She's mystic.
She's mystic.
Mystic.
She could try again. She's mystic.
Mystic is not a form, Bill. It's
I was
a
waiting
fan
on
term.
That. I was fucking waiting on that.
But yes.
But there's also something else that changed. Splinter.
Yes.
What does Splinter always...
He's a different breed of rat. Yeah. You can look at him and see he's a different breed.
What does he always say about the turtles? My sons.
Yeah, he does not refer to them as sons. I've noticed that.
Pupils.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are just his pupils. Yeah, he cares for them, probably like sons.
But that also goes into the whole foundation that these turtles do not have the same bond that the other ones had.
Yeah,
they don't
right.
call themselves brothers. They are basically soldiers in arms.
That brings up something I wrote down later on. It's like, why are they not listening to Master Splinter as much as they used?
Because irreparably they have been changed, because he doesn't consider them sons, they don't consider him dad.
That means they
are his pupils.
Which means that they do not respect him as much as they did before.
Right.
They look at him like a father.
Right. They respect the idea that they've been taught something, but they also very much walk their own path and fuck what he thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Which goes into one of my other notes, which I'll just jump into now. As you start to watch it, you start to gain their actual character. And Leo is a bigger fucking idiot than Raph at this point in episodes 1 and 2. And not to mention the fact that he keeps constantly being pissed off, especially when he's trying to break bricks with his head, because he's regressed that far.
I'm telling you, dude.
Raph is still fucking angry.
No, he's not.
Not now.
No, Alt reality changed the prime timeline. Leo is not a character I really care much about.
No, right. Leo is literally a hothead.
He's not as controlled as he was.
Save that for Raph. Raph is the hothead.
Raph is not an angry. Raph took on a different personality.
Oh, he did.
He's a asshole.
Yes.
He's not just like the angry.
He's just more
self-hatred. Because remember, we found out he has a self-denial thing. He's a very self-hate, and that is what's been driving him to be the person he was. But in this, he's really, literally, just an asshole.
Yeah. Mikey officially has zero personality. Not even maniac Mikey. He's just, I'm hungry. Where's food?
He's just kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
He's just kind of lazier than the other guys, and he just wants to have some fun.
Believe it or not, I think Donnie was the most fucking developed.
And Donatello is more technologically advanced than he was, because without the other brothers because they didn't plunge into their training as hard, they all found their own little level to dig into, which means Raph became even more secluded and literally became a prick. Leo
has one sword.
He did not have the same guidance, so he never got as far with his training, and literally took it upon himself to train himself earlier than he should have. So he thinks he's more advanced than he is.
But he's not. He's not the calm leader that he's supposed to
be. He's not the leader that followed his father until his father was literally a cripple in a chair.
Yeah.
And still was abiding by the rules even then, and literally knew how to dream walk in the first movie.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at...
And it even goes into the teachings and shit, too, because, hey, we're ninja. Let's be sneaky by getting on our motorcycle and our H1 Hummer and driving around in New York City.
Yeah.
Hey, Splinter, teach us how to be ninja. Hold on, I'm in the middle of playing a blind guy in the middle of Central Park during the day in a game of chess.
In fact, Splinter, not having the foundation of his father... He went and looked for companionship somewhere else. He found a blind man in the park that plays at night that probably lived a third shift lifestyle, that now that's just where he's comfortable, so he goes down there and he just, for some random fucking coincidence, ran into Splinter and has been playing chess for about 10 years in the park with this rat. Well, but he doesn't know it's a rat.
We've kind of skipped throughout most of my notes at this point, because...
Well, bring them up.
Okay.
Look, I'm not gonna do this one in as chronological order as normal. Because the first five episodes, they're one big episode. Yeah.
Right.
So just...
But I was gonna bring up the magical glass, looking more like a mirror. It's like...
Well, it was a mirror.
It was
yeah.
a mirror.
Fair. Yeah.
With bad 90s CGI, yeah. but it's bad and, 90s yeah. fucking...
From China to New York City, which is better than being from the present to the past... Was until we got through some of these episodes, and then the first dialogue with the shadows before we see the actual turtles, where we just see the shadows of them, is the usual Leo arguing with Raphael, which was
it's forced.
Yes, it's very forced.
It's forced, and it's forced because Raphael's an asshole, not a loving brother figure that's falling into his own demise.
Yeah, and in fact, Raph doesn't even want to be a fucking ninja.
Yeah,
they're
he
like,
wants nothing
hey, let's,
to do
let's
with that
be
shit.
Ninja, and Raph's like, fucking why?
I just want to go out there and beat some ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And then since the third Turtles movie, these turtles somehow found a motorcycle in the sewers.
No, because they're not in the sewers. They keep claiming it.
And also Hummer, somehow.
They're connected to the sewers through a subway.
Yeah.
So they did find that subway, but they seem to be in a different part of that subway.
It's also nicer.
Yeah, it's a different part of that subway.
Not only that.
It's not the same station.
Too.
Well, Venus calls it a toilet.
It's a smaller, smaller part of that subway. Because remember, they live in one of the abandoned subway stations in the second. I think they found, because there are lines of abandoned subway tracks all over the place.
Right.
I think that where they're living right now is an exchange line. It's like where you would have went down the stairs and waited for the train to show up and got on the... I think they're living there, and there's an old train that's broke down that they've repurposed.
Yeah.
So how long did it take the turtles to learn to drive?
Didn't you notice that? I noticed that.
I don't think
Raph,
they ever
Raph
did.
Raph looks so natural on the motorcycle.
Right.
Should we call Raphael the turtle rider?
I can't say that anything would be stopping them. I don't think that anything
Wasn't
would
there
stop
a rider
them from
that
learning.
We reviewed a while ago that looked like a turtle.
Gan-Gan.
Oh. Yeah, there's Gan-Gan G.
Gan-Gan is Raphael.
Awesome.
Oh my god. We just connected.
Yeah, we made that reference back then, dumbass.
But I didn't watch this fucking show to know that he had a motorcycle.
Yeah, I know, but we still referenced to the fucking Raph, and you got pissy. You were like, no, he's my favorite too.
Well, he is my favorite. Well, not,
but
not,
you know
not,
what I mean.
Not,
oh, I know,
one,
dude.
Dude.
Because I mean.
Everybody regressed.
Yeah.
Mikey regressed, Leo regressed, Raph regressed. The only person that has some fucking character is Donnie.
Yeah.
No.
And it ain't much there.
Because Donnie has character, and then technically, because we've never seen her before,
Venus
has character.
Now I get to open the floodgates.
Uh-oh. However, at
Venus.
The same time,
Venus.
Splinter has personality now, or Shredder has personality now, too, other than, get them turtles. It's not much, but he has a little bit more than before.
Okay.
Because he's actually talking and joking.
Since
and
we're jumping around, I might as well bring this up. I'd rather be looking at Shredder's costume from Coming Out of Their Shells tour than what we're looking at in this series.
Not but I will that. Say there's another thing that changed.
Except for the helmet.
Oh, the foot having multi-tiered levels
nope.
now?
Nope. Here's the thing. There's a big fucking thing that changed because of our snap reality.
And the turtles don't really like pizza that much nowadays?
No, their taste buds are very different because they eat a lot of whatever they can fucking find, which led them to eating weird concoctions again, like mustard and bananas. Because
when Mikey first brings up, you know, let's go get some pizza, they're like, grow up.
No.
What?
No, but that doesn't surprise me because even in the first movie, they only eat pizza like once. Literally once, and
it
then they
the
eat a bunch of pork rinds
that really
and shit.
Went overboard with the pizza.
Yeah. But no, that's not the thing that blew me away on that. Venus is probably the best character in this show.
since she's figuring out the way things are.
She's more intelligent than most of them. You can laugh at the way she doesn't understand things, but understand this. She learned Japanese. She learned a Japanese art, which means she knows Japanese. She was living in China, which means she knows Chinese or Cantonese, yada yada. And she just came to America, and she's learning. Well,
wait.
Depends on where you are in
that
China,
depends.
I think.
That brings up another point I got.
What?
How did she appear so fast?
Shinobi magic.
It's true. She could have used some sort. They trapped ancient enemies in like a mirror. She may have literally used like a weird type of teleportation thing. Like a, you don't know. She could have literally walked through some sort of warp gate thing. They don't tell us because they don't want us to question it. But since she's magic,
this shit all the time.
But there's a reason we don't, because this is exactly what I'm coming to. This is important. Many fucking years ago, we changed something in the foundation of reality when the turtles went back in time. And it caused a couple of things. One, magic is fucking real. You don't realize how fucking important that is. Magic is not a concept that was forgotten by society. It continued on and has very real implications. And guess what? The reason that's important is because the turtles and other things like them, and the fact that the turtles are not as interested in doing certain things, and the fact that Shredder is so low-key, is there's a reason for this.
It's a different the ripple effect from changing.
Because the Power Rangers exist.
Yeah, it was even mentioned. They even mentioned it.
They don't just mention them. They mention Batman and Superman, too.
Yeah, they literally...
That's
because
comic books exist. They're not talking about them as being real. And even a comment that we'll have to discuss here after a bit is going to be ridiculous when we get to our next review. But the Power Rangers are a real thing. They exist, which means magic exists, which means monsters are seen on a regular basis. They might not attack New York City, which means that possible films of possible propaganda and things of that nature might make it seem unreal, but the Power Rangers are a very real thing, which means the magic is a very real thing. And she comes from a foundation built on that aspect.
Yep.
She knows magic, and she knows it's real, and she understands monsters and ancient evils. And she's bilingual, knowing at least 3 or 4 languages. One that she's just starting to learn, which is English, which is the reason she doesn't understand certain things. Also, because she lived in seclusion her entire life, she wouldn't understand things like baseball, basketball, the fact that she calls the sewers their toilet. Well, to her, that does make a lot of sense, because that's where they fucking live.
They're kind of not wrong, but...
There are things about her character that make a lot of sense in the foundation of the reality where she comes from. And, as far as I've seen, she's one of the first people to weigh a situation when things come up and fight, or use magic depending on the scenario. When a bunch of foot attack her in a park, she doesn't use magic. There's no point to it.
She kind of dodges.
She outskills them.
She kind of pulls a Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she is a capable combatant.
While fucking Raph is like, I'm coming. I'll save you.
Exactly. And
I'm almost there.
Raph, in his extreme incompetence, is like, oh, she ain't going to be able to fight nobody. I'm almost there. Hold on, girl. Don't worry. I'm a coming. And she's like, I've got this taken care of.
And by the time he fucking parks his bike, they're already defeated.
She's also way more cultured than the other turtles. And she respects the foundations of art, society, peace, and tranquility.
Which is why she was interested in that statue.
Yes.
And especially the head once it got knocked
And off. Once she beat the foot up, what did she do? She didn't do like the turtles, beat them up and then have a party and run about. She was just attacked. She doesn't know why, but she wants to know why. And she knows that whatever just attacked her is organized and could be dangerous. So she takes and purposely doesn't knock it out. She steps on it and then puts her hand to his head and utilizes a form of magic.
Her foot to the foot.
Right, but she puts her hand on his head and reads his mind. That's how she did that. She stepped on him, then she reached her hand down and put it on his head and took his perceptions out of his mind and said, I see now. You guys, I need to get you
this
guys prepared.
This Shredder person is going to attack again.
Well, she figured out something, that they've been dealing with the Shredder, an incompetent villain, for years, because they themselves are incompetent because they've never been challenged. So, after she analyzes the situation, she says, this fight could literally go on forever. And this guy fucking attacks like every week, and I don't have fucking time for that.
Especially with their Splinter, their master, in this little
comatose
state.
These turtles need to learn how to spirit walk, and they need to do it right fucking now. And I can't do that while I'm fighting this idiot. He has to be done tonight.
Yep.
So she goes back to the turtles and she says, okay, guys, look, he has to fucking go. No more goofing around, no more bullshit. Get me to him, I will put an end to it.
Yep.
Right, yep.
And
it wasn't until she showed up, and you could tell that her foundation is different than hers. Her master must have challenged her, because she is way more advanced than they are.
Yep.
But the turtles have never been, they've never been challenged. We rise to meet the occasion. Heroes are defined by their villain. Shitty superheroes often have shitty rogues galleries. The best heroes in the world, they faced the best villains.
Yep.
Batman's rogues gallery is fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. The reason the Flash does better on teams than he does in his own book is because he has the rogues.
He needs better villains.
He needs better villains. He's got Thinky Monkey.
I don't care.
Other fast guys.
I don't give a fuck how fast you think. When I'm moving at 10 times faster than the speed of light, I'm going to punch you in the fucking face.
I will punch you 60,000 times in the face before this second has passed. And no matter how fast you think, the first thought on your mind is going to be, ow!
Why does my face hurt?
So you're not an actual villain. Now, Batman... Why is Batman so broken? Because his rogues gallery is fucking fantastic, and he is challenged on every possible fucking level.
Mr. Freeze, Joker, Bane, Penguin, not Riddler. fuck the Riddler.
Yes and no.
No, but intellectually, that's a huge fucking challenge.
Yes, but the Riddler sucks.
And the Riddler's been reworked into a kind of, lately, nowadays, he's kind of been reworked into kind of like a Saw type character, which is legitimately interesting for that kind of person.
Right.
But...
I kind of loved how Venus kept referring to this Shredder as the so-called Shredder.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, it is a so-called, because...
But why does she say that? There is an importance, and she does understand
it. She doesn't know this Shredder.
No, she does.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, four turtles beat down a warlord, and in the scrolls, we clearly see the Shredder.
Yep.
And those scrolls were passed down through societies that still study that ancient magic. And why was she kept alive instead of killed as a monster? Because many years ago, four monsters showed up and saved the, quote, world.
Kappa, or fucking Turtle Oni, basically showed up and said, oh... Yeah, no, fuck this guy.
I'm referring to the Shredders that we know.
No, but this is the same timeline. Those three movies did happen because the scrolls would still exist and had been passed down through societies. The reason she wasn't killed as a monster is because that master that got her home knew what she was and trained her for this moment. And she has been taught about the Shredder and the evil that he may bring should he ever rise again, and that she is destined to put an end to that shit. There used to be four, now there's only one. He doesn't know why, but then her master does reveal years later
that he met with another Dreamwalker person who has...
And that Dreamwalker has four Kappa.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Not only are they fucking real, God, I'm glad I trained you, because... whatever's happening is going to be real. And now this ancient evil's coming back. You need to go to New York.
Yep.
You need to go. I've already secured some sort of spell that'll take you there, is my guess, because she got there with no explanation.
Evil, along with this other evil, so you got to take care of some of this stuff.
And the other evil is in the scrolls. Until she reads that guy's mind and goes, this supposed Shredder, because she's already read what he's supposed to be, and that guy... Yeah.
No.
That ain't that fucking
guy. That ain't
guy.
That fucking
Did
guy.
Did you guys want to punch that guy? I wanted to punch that
guy.
That guy sucked.
I wouldn't mind collecting his helmet. That's about it.
That guy has not built his empire yet. because he doesn't have the legitimacy to do it. You notice Tatsu never came after this guy? Probably because there were no Shadow Warriors.
I noticed a possible Tatsu that was a
that bald thing, guy. Yeah. I saw that guy. I was wondering if that's what probably, that guy sadly probably, became because we
probably
changed
because
signs.
Tatsu would have kicked Tatsu this
shredder's
ass.
Tatsu became a fucking gong fucking hitter.
Well, that's because the timeline changed and Tatsu's School of Construction didn't ever happen.
Right. No, the School of Construction might have went through.
Yeah, the School of Construction might be legitimate now.
Oh,
yeah. Tatsu.
You walk past the construction sign, you see Tatsu there.
Tatsu. Yeah, Tatsu is written on the sides of his fucking tractors and shit. He builds buildings in New York. No, and matter of fact, Tatsu's School of Construction led to a business where Tatsu tractors are the tractors trusted by Angel Grove fucking construction.
By Angel Grove construction.
Because there's a lot of business in Angel Grove for Tatsu Tractor Corporation.
Oh, he's a billionaire.
Tatsu Tractor Corporation.
He's like,
it's real.
Which is the reason why every time you see a giant monster fighting Power Rangers, it looks like fucking downtown Japan. Tatsu's
because all the guys working there are from Japan, fucking Tatsu Construction Industries.
Like, guys,
so they bring in the influence from Japan for the buildings.
This fucking Angel Grove, man, we are banking on
this. We are banking over there. Tatsu Construction stock.
And especially with the Ocean River Lake where we could get all sorts of shit in and out.
Yeah.
Dude,
we're making money.
We
make snow plows for the Arctic.
We just literally discovered something about Power Rangers. Tatsu does exist in the Power Rangers, and Tatsu Constructional Industries. That's a thing.
That's a legit
thing.
See,
instead of being a fucking lackey for the Shredder and getting his ass kicked by a man in a fucking hockey mask.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire who now. Fucking, he could buy the fucking foot.
Yeah, he
could have walked up to the Shredder and been like, taking your guys. He's like, oh, I'm the Shredder.
I don't give a fuck what you are. I need workers.
He's like, hey, money.
Yeah, money.
And I'm like,
who wants money?
Man, fuck this shadow.
Yeah, fuck this stupid green fucking headband. I'm fucking out of here.
Fuck this. You, cheese grater man.
Fuck this evil podiatrist club.
I'm going to go make money with Tatsu.
Yeah, with Tatsu or Tatsu Constructional Industries.
I like how we figure shit out and we tie it.
Right.
Like, that's a thing now, because time was changed. The Rangers are real, because something changed in that foundation. Magic never left the construct of the Earth, which also explains why Zordon stuck around.
Right. Oh shit, I forgot about that note. Damn it. Oh well.
I was gonna
make a joke
because this show taking place, Zordon is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he just went missing a while ago.
Yeah.
In fact, in Angel Grove, the command center would have just been destroyed, probably around the same time this launched.
Oh shit! The command center looks like they need Tatsu Construction.
Right.
We do have machines that can drive on the sand out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
It's true.
Oh my god, we just created something awesome.
And you know what? What else was created? The Shredder getting his mind blown.
Because she was able to remove the evil corruption in his heart. Now, why is that important?
She put the mirror of his former self in front of him.
Yeah, but that's important, and there is an important reason why. Because now, whatever changed, magic never left the foundation of Earth. Yeah. And this is important because in Power Rangers, we learned something very important. People are not just people. There is good and there is evil. And very much so when Rita can corrupt a guy who is a good person and make him the, quote, evil Green Ranger, that's magic. And magic by the foundation that we're laying down right now says this. There are dark influences in this world that can make you truly evil. Shredder was infected by those influences, and all she did was magically remove the curse of whatever was wrong with him, and he is now a good person, which destroys that evil person he was, just like when you destroy the Sword of Darkness, and Tommy all of a sudden is your best fucking friend.
Right.
But 10 seconds ago, he was going to cut your head off.
But some people still don't trust him because he was a bad guy.
Right, but that still goes into the foundation. Tommy is 100% a good guy. In the very next fucking episode of Power Rangers, we're like, Tommy and us are friends.
Yep.
We've been friends for years. We're good fucking friends.
But Bill, do you know how Venus stopped the Shredder?
with mind bullets.
That's telekinesis, Kyle.
All right, so let me see here. Where's the next?
So it does make sense that she takes him out that way. Because now that the Rangers are real, magic never left the foundation of the Earth, those three movies technically happened but didn't happen, and we're sitting in Ranger world, magic can and does create evil. And the removal of, quote, evil magic automatically makes a guy good. Which also means that Oroko Saki did not grow up a shadow warrior who does bad fucking things and kills people. He must have been a good person.
That means Hamato Yoshi might have still lived longer.
Right, but who knows? Maybe because of the foundations that we've changed, Oroko Saki and Hamato Yoshi may have been best fucking friends until Oroko Saki was cursed by evil, blah blah, magic, and killed Yoshi. Mm. Then when Yoshi dies, he fucking, you know, the rat, the most of the story still follows somewhat the same thing. He cuts his ear, ha ha ha, leaves. But he was under magical influence, and only somebody trained in magic could have seen it. And she's like, I see evil Ranger Bougie Bougie magic. I'm going to just remove it. And since I can do that...
Oh, look. Dark Chi. Gone.
Now he's a good person again.
Well, Which causes him to go comatose.
Once he recovers from his comatose...
She says that Oroko destroyed himself on purpose... So maybe there was some sort of inner mind battle between the evil side and the good side, and the good side decided if there's only one way to stop you after this much corruption and this is what I have to do, I will sacrifice the bounds of my own body to do so. And he did a noble thing and destroyed himself.
Yeah.
Because she says, I did not do that. I gave the other side the will to fight. He chose this. Mm-hmm. She said he destroyed himself. She said that.
Yep.
Now, after the Shredder mind blown...
Then we go back to the lair for a nap, meditation.
Not just a nap, but apparently Donnie likes to do a little break in the fourth wall, talking to the audience about the alienation.
I saw that. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. The alienation of the brothers had. It's like, wait, why are you talking to the audience when you're supposed to be talking to Venus over there?
Because he's that big of a genius.
Not only that, this is the only time it ever happens.
Yeah.
Like, as if the show was going to break the fourth wall, did it this one time, and they were like, don't fucking do that.
Yeah, don't do that shit again.
And they just never did it again, because they will never do that again, which begs the question, since they never do it again, who the fuck were they talking to?
Mm-hmm. No clue, but considering the fact that a lot of the dubbing in that was off by quite a bit in several spots... Of course, then again, no offense to them, but considering the fact that I want to say almost every single person that ends up being in the show is part of the Ocean dub for DBZ. Not a joke.
I know this is something I want to bring up, but Bill and you guys probably also have it down as well, but these guys go from the sewer... to the rooftop, dragging Master Splinter on a mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his state.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, God, you guys are dicks. But they don't respect him the same way. There's no reason to make him comfortable at all. They're like, that's our master. We do need to save him, but I mean...
And at this point, Leo has two swords again. Wow, what happened?
Yeah, there's weirdness. Sometimes he has two, and sometimes he has one, and there's no explanation.
And then, of course, to make it even more weird, then, you know, because Venus is like, come on, guys, you need to focus. And they're like, we can't focus. Fuck this focus shit. What's this sitting around shit? I sense great anger. Well, yeah, that's because we were trained as a ninja. Okay, so you were trained how to fight? Yeah, we were trained how to fight. Okay, well, then technically you were trained in ninjutsu, but not to be a ninja.
Yeah, and she does make a comment like that. She's like, she's like, you guys were trained to fight. You weren't trained with the philosophy that goes with it. Your minds are not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she knows this. So she does figure out a compromise. She does a form of... there's two phrases that I've heard this explained. This is called walking and waking meditation. It's when you trigger your mind into a form of meditative state by doing something that creates that zen.
Yeah.
For some people, it's working on a car engine. And everything else goes away, and the only thing that is present is the moment.
For
and
some people, it's grinding their dicks off for 9 hours in a JRPG.
Yeah, they can just zone into that world and just do that mm-hmm. and lose 10 hours of the day and not even realize that it's happened because they reach that mentality where this is the thing at hand.
Yep.
And you'll also see it in things like Star Wars. Anakin Skywalker is one of those people that he doesn't meditate well, but he does have a form of waking meditation where he will work on robots and broken parts and things of that nature. And he even tells Padme to her face, when I'm fixing things, the world slows down, becomes more clear. I enter my state of relaxation. He pretty much tells her that word for word that he can't center himself. That's why he came down here to fix things.
Yep.
Where Obi-Wan would literally just stop and meditate.
Yep.
Which is probably something that he ended up doing anyway.
So, she takes this to her advantage, and she gets them into the one thing that they can just focus on. Come up here and do your fucking kata workouts.
Yep.
At some point, as you do it, you will enter a state where I can just pull you in.
Yep.
And since I'm more trained than you guys, if I maintain the link, we should be fine.
Yep.
And so she does that, and they get to go to fucking Dream Walkie Land.
Yeah.
Where they get to go to the upside of Malbolgia's realm from the fucking Spawn movie.
Because
it's the same goddamn shitty 90s animation.
I was thinking the same thing.
And then we get to see the series' new bad guy.
Which is an old Dragon Lord dude that was locked away years ago.
To me, is still the most hilarious fucking thing ever. It proves just how much that these guys have changed. The dragon guy literally goes, "Oh, you want your master? Here you go. Okay, what's the catch? No catch? You're fucking full of bullshit." Yeah, you're kind of right, I am. All I want you guys to do is run away. We don't run from nothing. Hey, boys, 30 more dragons show up. Hey, guys, I think it's time to start jogging. It's like, no! Before, you four idiots would have fought a shredder on a rooftop, got your asses handed to you, and been like, so, best 3 out of 5?
And they'd have literally given their lives to save their master. They fought the entire fucking Foot Clan in one night for that, just the chance that they could save their father.
Yeah.
Now, they're like, oh, shit, we should go.
We got him. We can go now.
So, look, this dragon guy, he also plays into the idea that we changed something big.
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon guy is also important because he also adds a little more believability to the fact that the Rangers and whatnot exist. And I would argue that whatever that dragon guy was that was sealed away, he could have literally been a remnant monster created by Rita 10,000 years ago that then later on the humans of their own ingenuity and magic forced into that mirror.
Yep.
Possible.
Yeah. Because Zordon fucking got rid of Rita.
Yeah.
Well, there's your big bad. And the dragons showed up and been like, oh, Rita's gone?
Because the dragon's definitely not Rita level
I
power.
I want power! And they said, you see this mirror? This what? Look right there. What? Ah, fuck, I'm sucked into the mirror.
It does explain why the dragon... See, because here's the thing. Rita knew that she was strong. She was never actually looking for more power. You notice that? She wasn't like going out and be like, I need this fucking relic to bolster my power. But a monster that she created that was left behind very well could be looking to seek an ability to move beyond his creation point. And he sees that possibility in mutation, which he references as modern magic, because he doesn't have another way to reference it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he sees it. He's been gone for a long fucking time. He comes out, and modern magic has built these giant cities and everything, and then there's these four fucking mutant warrior things, which are not...
These
not
turtles.
Monsters. They're not monsters. They're not what he is.
Right.
He very much may have been created by Rita years ago through the courses of
sorcery.
Magic. Yeah, he was created by magic, so he would understand magic. Years ago, magic lady did something, super clay, fucking pull the lever, poof, there I was, I went down to Earth. I fucking ransacked people. I conquered a part of the world. Then I lost contact with my empress. A couple hundred years went by or whatever, a couple thousand years after that, and these humans did manage to seal me in this fucking mirror because I could never grow beyond that point that Rita created me. I could never get better. But now there's a new kind of monster that isn't the same kind of monster he is, that definitely wasn't created by the same thing. He knows humans have alchemy, so he assumes this is some new kind of alchemy. A new kind of magic that's been used that may even be stronger than my magic. But if I could have it, if I could have it.
Mm-hmm.
And also eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about the stupid dragon guy.
So there's a possibility.
That's what happens when you fuck off for like 20 minutes of a conversation.
Yeah, you were gone for a long fucking time. But this, there's
we tied in the dragon lord to Rita.
Yeah. There's legitimate evidence here that ties him to Rita. And there's a lot of evidence, like, but you missed a lot of the conversation. I'm not going back through it. You have to listen.
I can do the recap. Thousands of years ago, dragons existed in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
How long ago did Rita exist?
Thousands of years ago.
There
Hold
you go.
Hold on, I can give That's you the better recap. So you know what happened, Shane? A long time ago, a foolish samurai warrior wielding a magic sword.
Do not. You tie in Samurai Jack to this crap.
But he sealed away a magical dragon in a mirror by saying, hey, look, it's a mirror. It's a what? Ah, fuck.
Ah, fuck. That would have been amazing if that is literally how we did it.
A what? Ah, fuck.
Thank God.
And I kind of noticed shit. That some of the, I guess, I don't know if it was one henchman or maybe one of many henchmen that talk for the Dragon Lord, they kind of have that weird Zordon voice thing going on.
Yeah, and he also has, he also follows a foundation that he's seen to build his own empire. He knew that Rita had small and competent things that could get jobs done. Mm-hmm. And you also notice this dragon did the same thing, which also adds to the idea that he may have been a Rita monster that was simply not dispatched.
Well, which kind of thing are you using?
Then again, depending on the place that he makes his base to is like a high area thing.
Where he could look down on his enemies.
Yeah.
All of these foundations were set in motion by Rita 10,000 years ago. That's things he would understand. So that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
We're going with the American.
Well, we have to, because this is taking place in an American series. Yeah. So this ties into the American foundation.
This is America.
But this is America. This is Rita.
Yeah.
America.
Everybody, a lot of people do that in the fan base where they're like, no, technically. No, it's not technically. The American series may have been adapted from, but stands apart from, the Sentai stuff.
All thanks to Zed. Big thanks to Zed, because Zed was an American character.
But even so, even when we take the footage straight out, we change the story and build our own foundation.
Right.
Just because it happened this way in the Sentai, that has nothing to do with the continuity that affects here in America.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Right.
Can I talk about how much I hate this Splinter? Like,
we kind of talked about it, but
go
ahead.
Yeah, we already did it, go ahead. You can play catch up.
Like, how much do you hate this?
You were gone for a long time.
Yeah.
I just didn't care some business, sorry. This Splinter sucks ass. Because when he was trapped in the fucking spirit realm, or whatever. You remember how when in the first movie, when he was captured and they had him chained up to the fence?
Yes.
But he was super calm.
You know why?
Super chill.
Because he had a family to defend and he wasn't about to give the Shredder shit.
Yep.
And this fucking
this
spirit
time
realm,
around,
he's bitching.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because this time around.
Go!
Yeah, like we said before, these guys aren't fucking family.
No, they're not.
That's not his sons. He didn't give two shits.
It's,
he likes them. He likes having them around.
I also want to kill myself every time I hear that stupid fucking creature talk.
Whatever. Oh, the little dragon.
Oh, that little dragon side.
Oh my god, I want to kill myself.
But master, don't you?
Actually, it took me halfway through this series,
to realize.
No, I was like on episode 7 or so when it hit me, when I heard his voice, and I was like, please don't be that guy. Please don't be that guy. Please don't be that guy. I think he's the evil Oni scientist in Onimusha.
Uh huh.
Where he's like, ooh, interesting. What's, oh, a liver.
I can't remember.
I think it's the same fucking guy.
I didn't look it up.
You went a whole different route than what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, I didn't look it up, but I want to say he's also the
because
same one who's the librarian. Mm-hmm.
What?
From Symphony of
the
Night.
The laugh I did that when I tried to impersonate that little creature.
Yes, tell me what you need.
That laugh reminded me of the Crypt Keeper.
No, he's not that guy. But I really do. I really do
like
wonder
I said,
if it's the same guy.
Most of the shit was done in Canada, so it's literally the Ocean Dub team, like the same dudes who are on this. We're not to him yet, but the fucking the Bone Steel guy or whatever, the fucking the Crazy Hunter.
Oh my god,
he's fucking Piccolo, and he's fucking what's his name from fucking Gundam Wing.
Like you talk about the guy with the long hair that
with the scar. Yeah. Who hunts stuff.
Yeah. He's fucking Piccolo. He was also one of the other dudes from fucking Gundam Wing. He's been in a lot of voiceover shit and a lot of live action shit. Just like Raphael, you'll know him as Ed Singledy from Ed, Edd n Eddy. As well as Ortega from fucking Gundam. It's all the same group. Half of these guys, yes, the realization.
Yeah, you can't drop the mic. Look, Batgirl was Hello Kitty.
Yes.
Like, these voice actors, they go from one job to the other, and it don't matter what it is, they need to make a paycheck.
Right.
In fact, like, Sean, the guy that plays Goku, he makes less than we do. That's true. I spoke to him. He basically referenced where his paycheck kind of lied. He wasn't allowed to say exactly, but he told me basically that the way he makes his funds, because I talked to him, and then I saw his fucking Twitter later, and I kind of asked him some questions. And basically the information I got is that he still lives in an apartment when I got to talk to him. He couldn't afford a house. He didn't have the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill, I was with you.
Yeah.
I met him, too.
You don't remember?
Yeah.
So you do, yeah, he was there when I asked him,
yeah.
But on Twitter, I got to speak with him a little further,
yeah.
And he very much referenced that, you know, he's in an apartment. He don't have no house.
Well, you would think that.
And they go job to job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they do.
And literally, some of these voice actors will do like 5 gigs a day
to
pay the
bills.
Well,
one thing I was going to bring up, when I looked up this series on IMDb, there's been about like 10 or 20 times that the Turtles have changed voice actors throughout the show.
Well, yeah. Because you do 2-3 episodes. Look,
no,
I'm going to put it to you.
When I looked at it, the voice actors are the same. It was a lot of what changed was the stunt guys.
Huh.
That might be true. I looked up who portrayed Venus and who was the voice actor, and then I was going to look up the others, and something went wrong with my phone. Like, I tried to post the first one to you guys, and I was like, because I posted it 2 days ago.
Right.
It was like, this is Venus. And it was like, message has not sent. And I was like, so I tried again. Message has not sent.
I rebooted.
That was way later. I rebooted my phone. I uninstalled Messenger and reinstalled it.
Mm-hmm.
It took 2 days for that picture to send.
Was it that day that Facebook was fucking with everyone's phones?
It could have been.
Yeah, that's because Facebook crashed for a couple of days, yeah.
But I stopped looking the other guys up because of that. So the only one that went through was just her.
Because I'm on the IMDb right now, and let me see here.
There's like multiple Donatellos and...
Well, let's see. There was the Jared Blanchard, who literally was 26 episodes, Mitchell Ewan, no clue. But he played Raphael, and then there was Dean Cole, who played Raphael. But I'm not quite sure which one of them is, you know, stunt guy or a voice or what. Because technically, one of them could be a puppeteer for his shitty move in the face and...
Yeah.
For trying to talk and can't talk, whereas the other one's
the
guy
puppeteer that controls
in the suit.
The one eye that goes to the side or something, too?
Yeah, whereas, you know, the other guys could be like the dude in the suit actually throwing the punches and kicks.
What are you looking up that you're laughing over there?
Well, if this is the girl, because she's the only girl that showed up on this, it's Nicole Parker.
Yep.
Yes.
Is he the voice of Venus?
No, that I looked up said she was the one portraying Venus.
Yeah, she was that one that you're looking at right now, the one who, like, her only major stuff is, like,
let me see the picture.
Bit parts.
Because there's, like four
stuff.
Different women with that name.
It's a redhead chick, I
think. Yeah, that's actually her.
Yeah, that's the one in the suit. Because the voice actress, I think, is this Liliana Lindberg or something. And she literally, she's the voice actress. You know how I know? Because when you click on her fucking records, first things that come up are fucking Bulma for Ocean Dub. And let's see, a bunch of fucking Barbie stuff, Mobile Suit Gundam, Black Lagoon, Death Note, voice actor, voice actor, voice actor, anime, 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 RoboCop anime.
Look, you just do the job you're given, man. That's like, look, if I wanted to make it in voice acting, one of the very first things I would do to build a resume is I would put my shit out there and I would say, use me.
Yep.
Fucking use me. I will do any goddamn character you think I can do as long as it will push my resume forward. I'll do 2, 3, 4 fucking characters a day as long as it gives me a chance at the industry at some point.
I'll do 30 commercials in a day for your shitty as seen on TV fucking product.
Even then, you have to become a real big motherfucker in the voice acting world to pick the job you want.
You would think that, okay, I get it, they don't make as much money as fucking actual actors and actresses.
There's some that are allowed to demand price tags.
Well, yeah, some
like
can.
If you become like a Disney voice actor,
yeah,
you get paid for, but you only get paid for that gig real big. And then you might literally be back on television for a while.
But my thing about it is,
like, Tara Strong, bless her heart, she's one of the best voice actors in the fucking world. I don't care. I'll fight.
Do they get any of the royalties for, like, the...
No. Most of the time, no, you do not. No. If you make like, something for Batman, Kevin Conroy gets nothing for that. He gets the fact that he was Batman. That's it.
Yeah.
He don't get royalties for that because DC owns Batman, and Warner Brothers owns DC, and Warner Brothers don't give a fuck about Kevin.
Yep.
Sucks because he is Batman.
Just like the Power Rangers, though. This is not the first time we've seen this. You think the Rangers get a cut of the money every time their face is on a toy? Yeah, they would be billionaires. They wouldn't be doing cons right now.
Yeah, why the fuck do you think the fucking Johnny has gone out of his goddamn way to go back to fucking Devil May Cry 5? Because a Power Ranger ain't doing shit for
him. It ain't because they necessarily love the characters. Now, some of these people, they love the integrity. Some of these people do love the fact that they are a specific character, and Sean's one of them. Sean loves the fact that he is Goku, and he has done even bad projects just to make sure that the voice is right.
Right.
Pokemon.
No, I mean for Goku.
Yeah, for Goku.
He will do even bad things, like stupid commercials and shit like that. Just because he wants it to be right. He'll know that a game is absolute shit before he goes to voice it, but that's his shit now. That is his cookie.
That kind of reminds me of...
That's his shit sandwich. He's taking the bite.
It's because he's so well known as Goku now that he is... When I met him, I didn't go up and like, what up, Sean? I walked up and I looked at him like, what up, Goku?
Yeah.
Well, right.
It reminds me when I met Larry Kenny over at PeoriCon.
That he's
voice of Lion-O?
He was
the original Lion-O.
One of the Lion-Os. And two of them, wasn't he? Wasn't he two of the Lion-Os?
He was
now?
The original Lion-O. He voiced Lion-O's father in the remake, and he's voicing Jaga in this new Thundercats Roar.
Okay, so he didn't get Lion-O back, because I heard he got to play Lion-O twice.
But from what I heard from him, he signed that contract before any of the animation was shown for
they
the
all
Roar.
Do.
Yeah,
they all do. Voice actors don't know. Yeah. Look, I'm telling you, this is real shit. Batman, the animated series, you love it, right? Did you know the actors that were involved in it did not like it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. They did the first 12 episodes before they ever saw a single still of animation. They didn't know what they were doing. They were going in, voice acting it, going home. They got their paycheck.
Yep.
It was a job. Some of them kind of wanted to be there, okay? And some of them were excited to work on it. But the truth of the matter is you can find a ton of interviews where they all say the same thing. I was talking to my other coworkers, like, have you seen anything as to what we're working on?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea what it is. And it wasn't until the 12th episode was already done recording that they got footage for the first episode that was animated. And that was the Man-Bat episode.
Yep.
That was the first episode that was recorded and actually finished in animation and sent back to them, which is also the reason why it was the only piece of animation that had a bloody Batman.
Yep.
Because after that, they were like, oh, no, 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 hell no with the bloody Batman. That is a hell no situation. You guys got guns and dark. No bloody fucking Batman.
Yeah.
So from that point on, there was no bloody Batman.
Yep.
He could take all kinds of damage and he wouldn't get all bloody and shit.
Just like Mark Hamill really wasn't supposed to be the Joker. He showed the fuck up to work as like a side actor for a little
bit. Tim Curry.
And he was literally, he was like, so what are you guys doing with this? And what's with that? And how about this? And are you guys going to do Mr. Freeze? And what about Clayface? And what about this?
Yeah, he had a couple different ideas of what he wanted to do.
I heard Tim Curry was really up for the role.
Oh, yeah?
Until they knocked it down because he was too creepy, spooky.
Evidently, when he came in and he did... No, evidently, this was a thing that they were running into. They kept bringing in actors, and the actors that came in were very much doing... God damn it. He just played the Joker during that time.
Oh, they were all doing Nicholson or whatever.
Thank you, Jack Nicholson. I can't believe I couldn't fucking remember his name.
Right.
Every single one of them was doing imitations of Jack Nicholson. They were just doing what he'd done. And the voice actor, the teams, the fucking directors had to keep being like, no, that's not... We're not interested in Jack Nicholson. This is not a Jack Nicholson thing. You're going to have to... And so then they would like leave and come back, and they would try something else that wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
And then from the get-go, when they gave Mark Hamill the opportunity, and Mark was like, so what are you looking for here? And they were like, look, this is not Jack fucking Nicholson.
And he was like, well, yeah, no shit.
Don't even try the Jack Nicholson thing.
Yeah.
We're looking for something else here.
Okay, so what if I do the Clown Prince of
Crime?
Well,
see, no, because then they put him as one of the guards or whatever. Like, it's either the ferryman driving the boat or whatever that gets hit with the Joker toxin. And they said, just do a couple of laughs. We'll use him as, you know, just kind of like a B-take. Just do a few laughs. And he goes, yeah, I just got done doing Amadeus, where they literally said, Mozart has crazed fucking laughs. Do what you want. He had a fucking literal rogues gallery of him, and he just came in and just started type of bullshit, and they're like, fuck yes, you, come the fuck back. And it wasn't until he started bothering the fuck out of everybody else that they were like, yeah, okay, no, we're going to keep your ass around for shit.
And you're looking at a huge name that didn't just get to pick his job. You want to get into voice acting, you're going to fucking pay your due.
Yeah.
And chances are... Even Kevin has been passed up on Batman roles because it doesn't fit the time.
Right.
Like, Kevin comes in, he's like, I want to do this. And they're like, RoboCop sounds better right now.
Right.
Which, to be fair, he did sound better.
Yeah. And sometimes when it comes down to it, a lot of the guys, when they're doing the roll calls for voice acting, they even say, a lot of the voice actors are like, yeah, 9 times out of 10, the guy doesn't even know what the fuck he wants that character to sound like until you make it real for him. Everybody went in to voice for Bender for fucking Futurama. Everybody came in, I am Bender, I am a robot, bite my shiny metal ass. It wasn't until John DiMaggio comes in and he's like, so what is he? He's a robot. Okay, like, just a robot? And they're like, well, yeah, in the year 3000. All right, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. Hey, me bags by my shiny metal ass, yo, woo! And they were like, well, fuck, that's Bender. Like, they had three other dudes lined up, and they were just like, these guys go in the garbage, you're Bender now, thank you.
Do voice actors get paid weekly, bi-weekly, or daily?
Per episode,
yeah,
normally.
It's per episode, per job, sometimes.
Unless you're working with somebody who actually has been in the business for a while, like a Matt Groening or somebody.
It depends
like
on your contract. Yeah. Sometimes you show up and you do literally one voice for a day, and just so that they never have to be tied down to you, you get paid for that day and you go the fuck away.
Okay. I was just curious.
And then sometimes you get a contract that says that you're going to be working on this show for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you're paid kind of like a normal thing.
Yeah.
It's just that...
You're still not making as much as an on-screen.
And I get
but,
it. I get it. You know, we always talk about
which
it.
Sucks
I get it.
Dick.
But no matter what, man, I'm always going to think Conroy, you know,
right.
is Batman.
But not always.
No,
because the situation, like, take Conroy. I promise you, if Conroy had voiced Batman in The Dark Knight, in the animated project, The Dark Knight, Part 1 and 2,
okay,
it wouldn't have been a good movie.
That's because an older Batman, you need an older voice.
And they went with RoboCop.
Right. Don't get me wrong, technically Conroy, yeah, he's an older dude anyway. So, I mean,
I get it,
they need that grizzle.
Yes.
That he just, like, he's got, but he just doesn't have.
Sorry, man. Childhood.
So...
The Turtles celebrate Gensplinter back.
Oh, yeah, we're back to this shit. Fuck.
And at which point, the Dragon Lord shows up with the Dragon Henchmen, and there's a fight that goes out, including Donnie kicking a henchman in the butthole.
But did you hear what he fucking said?
Actually, he says this twice. He says this in another episode as
well. Yeah, he does.
He kicks the dragon
in the butthole.
The butt and says, that's a booty call.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, toe in butthole.
And not even normal big toe.
No.
Turtle big toe.
Turtle from
first
the
off,
sewer.
Your
foot.
The fucking, the turtle's feet are fucking goddamn ridiculous in this show. I didn't bring it up, but
yeah.
Fucking, the turtle's feet are goddamn ridiculous. Fucking clawed hopper motherfuckers. Goddamn size 16s.
That have been yeah. through the sewer numerous,
just,
numerous
in case
times.
You guys forgot.
But they do have a shower because they complain that Venus de Milo brought fucking poofy things to their shower.
Yeah.
Did,
she's girling up our bathroom.
In case you guys forgot, I'll remind you, I hate this show. I really fucking do.
So in which case, the Dragon Lord whips their ass and they have to retreat.
Which was good. Because for one, the turtles
yeah, which
have never
they
been...
have to retreat in the middle of Central Park. Ninja, vanish. No puff of smoke. Run through an open field with
no,
two
no, no,
trees.
No, no, no.
Ninja vanish.
They vanish by going off screen. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, they have Venus with them. I'm
that's
telling
true.
You, there may be a solid possibility that in the right context, she may be able to teleport.
Right. No, that's fair enough.
She is Shinobi, quote unquote, magic ninja,
now,
and we don't
now,
know what the rules are.
Not in one
shot.
Episode.
If
when they went
shot.
Ninja vanish.
In fact, she can vanish. She can vanish.
Yep.
She proved
yeah.
it in an alternate episode.
Now, if you took a shot for every time
okay, yes.
that Venus or somebody else says Shinobi, you'd be dead by the time this pilot is done.
I guess. But look,
well,
look, this
true.
Show is not made for us. We're reviewing it, but let's be honest here. This show was made for Gwen. She's fucking 7.
Yeah.
If she watched this show, she might not hate it the same way we do. There
she,
are things
she would
that,
love Venus.
There are things that I notice when I watch this show, like the fact that the masks every now and then, like, they're static fucking open mouths and dumb shit
oh,
like that.
Oh, yeah.
But see, when you were 7... The reason that would not have mattered to you, and I can prove this...
Because they're turtles.
No, I can prove it because you watched Power Rangers, and you still watch Power Rangers to this day, and there ain't a goddamn monster in fucking Power Rangers that talks right, and you've never
yeah.
had a problem with it. Some
yeah.
of them don't even have fucking lip flaps. They literally just have a big open mouth all the time, and they just go...
Or a big tongue hanging out.
And there's a voice actor talking while they move their arms, and you've never once complained
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, think about Goldar. Goldar's face does not move, like, yeah. hardly ever.
And you've never
and
complained.
And he always punches the
we
air.
We make jokes about it now.
Yeah.
But even today, when you watch Rangers and you see the big evil guy whose face never moves, you don't cry about it. You
right.
just accept it. There's a mentality that you've developed. And at 7 years old, somebody like my daughter would probably watch this and not notice that and not irritate by it.
Yeah,
and it's not just that Venus de Milo is a girl. I'm telling you, I don't care. She was the best fucking character in these 5 episodes.
Right.
She was interesting. She was versatile. She was something they didn't have. She fought better than most of them. I liked her bandana, that it's
yeah.
woven into like a hairstyle.
Yeah.
That's creative and interesting for her that sets her apart from the others, aside the fact that she was a girl. She wears objects of her religion. The turtles
yep.
are just fucking superhero posers.
Yep. And idiots, because they're getting shot at. Leonardo sits in the car. Up,
oh, yeah.
stop sign. Leo, we gotta go. Not until everybody buckles up.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, now we can drive. Let me go
oh,
ahead
and
use defensive countermeasures.
And wait.
It's finally my turn.
And the Dragon Lord that nobody can really damage or anything? Golf balls. He trips on golf balls.
Yep.
Kids show.
I'm telling you right now.
It's so stupid, but it's a kid show. At 7 years old, you'd have laughed at that.
Oh no.
But we were already fucking teenagers or entering into that step. Like we were like, how old were you in space?
Space came out in 1998. I was 10.
You were 10.
Yeah.
See, you were nearing those teenage years. You were already playing games.
When did this came out in 90? It had to come out in
98. 97, 98, yeah.
You were already starting to play games like Final Fantasy VIII, Metal Gear Solid. Do you see the difference in attitude that was coming up? Once you hit about 10, going 11, 12, 13, 14, your attitude starts to change. And sometimes you have the other kids that are around you that are like, Power Rangers is a gay sausage, dude. And they make fun of you for liking certain shit. And you'll give up certain things of your childhood to be cool.
Or you would do what I would do and blame it on the fact that my brother and sister were younger than me and I had to watch it.
Yep. Or you just won't mention it in casual conversation.
Yeah, there's that too.
You'll go home and watch Power Rangers at 14 years old and then come back to school and you just don't tell anybody that you're watching it.
Yeah, I used to play Power Rangers. I had to watch Turtles because I was in the middle of waiting for Beast Wars to come on, and since I want to watch Transformers Beast Wars, and Power Rangers just so happens to be on right before it, I watched the episode.
Around the same time as Beetleborgs too?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Everybody's different, but that's the truth of it. Most of the time, as we were entering our younger teens, moving into 13, 12 years old, yada yada, most of us started giving up certain things, or at least lying about the fact that we were giving it up.
Yeah.
Everybody left Power Rangers because they got old and they got tired of watching dumb shit. And then, for reasons unbeknownst to us, honestly, we ended up coming back to it.
The thing about it is, though, is I have...
I know the reason why it is we came back to it. Shane's car broke down.
It's true. It's your fucking fault.
So this is your fucking fault.
Indirectly, it's your fault for buying that car, having it break down when we were supposed to be watching Angry Video Game Nerd, and instead, now fucking Next Mutation.
Yeah. No Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie in theaters.
Next Mutation is indirectly your fault.
Sorry, I'm so sorry I started a phenomenon. But you know what? I'm 30, and I have a Power Ranger hat on.
And
now
you don't. But now you don't care because the stigma's missing. Because now, if some guy says "fucking," like, and there's guys at work that are like, "You fucking play video games?
Yeah.
Like, are you still a child?" I'm like, "No, I'm a 32-year-old man that likes to play video games. Suck a dick."
Yeah,
that's adorable. You're 35. Do not de-age yourself, old man.
I'm just making a random reference.
No.
I say on my show all the time what age I am. That doesn't scare me at all.
Get this. I wear my Red Ranger hat to work every day.
Yeah.
When I first wore it, people are like, "What is that? What are you wearing?" I'm like, "It's my Power Ranger hat." You're like, "How old are you?" I'm like, "I'm 30. You're damn right. You're damn right I'm."
But you see, the stigma's still there. It's just you don't care about it. But when you were a kid and you really wanted that girlfriend or that grown-up thing or that attitude or to be cool.
I got made fun of. I got made fun of for playing Power Rangers at recess.
Exactly.
At some point, you quit, didn't you? You
played Power Rangers in recess?
Yeah.
I somehow played Turtles. Well, I had somebody smaller than me jump on my back to be a shell.
But see, at some point you grew up to a certain foundation and you stopped doing that, didn't you?
Well...
Shit, I even used my fucking knowledge of Turtles and Rangers and shit. Because when I was in high school, because my mom worked at fucking 6 o'clock in the goddamn morning... I still had to go to a fucking babysitter in the summer, so there was little kids around and they would want to play Turtles and Rangers. Okay, I know me some Turtles and Rangers. Hi, my name is Lord Zedd. Come fight me.
But this is true. This happens in these things. So this show, there are certain things we can point out, and oh my God, yes, it is bad.
Yeah.
But we're not fucking 7.
Yeah.
I promise you, social experiment, I could put this in Gwen's room, and at some point, she will end up liking certain characters or at least get laughs out of the jokes that are so fucking bad, they're not funny to us. But also, there's... Just wait till you got a fucking kid, and they discover that... Actually, you already have something like this. And they discover that poop is funny, and you have to listen to fucking poop 24 goddamn hours a fucking day, and it's not fucking funny... Just wait, because it's fucking coming.
Just wait, Shane. Your kid will also want to be raised on fucking Doc McStuffins and fucking Mickey Mouse House on a loop, one disc, all fucking day, all fucking week.
Kids have a very different mentality.
And that wasn't even my kid.
But see, kids have a different mentality. Kids can laugh at some of the things that we're finding fucking repugnant.
Yes.
I promise you. That a younger person can watch this and not pick out what we pick out. These shows were never meant to hold up to adult scrutiny, which is why this is so fucking awful for us.
And so hard for us to stay on track.
No, because the sooner we get to like a couple more episodes, then the sooner I might be like, hey, look,
a good fucking episode.
Well, where are we at?
We are still in the pilot, but we're
almost done with it.
We're in the zoo now.
Yeah, we're at the zoo. Where they just constructed the fucking
serum thing.
The serum thing.
Yep.
And the lieutenant is pulling a Bane with it.
They can plug it into themselves, and it somehow gives them a fucking energy boost.
But it's super easy to take away.
Yes, but at the same time, one could argue.
Take my venom.
But see, we
don't take away the venom.
You had to fucking
when
say
I
it.
Seen that because I did look up from my phone occasionally.
Boss said he's gonna give me venom too.
when that dude put that thing on, it started roiding up, and the turtles were like, "Man, we beat all their asses." And that guy fucking grabs fucking Mikey and Raph and throws them. And they're like, "Oh my god, what was going on?" And they knocked that pin off, and that guy was.
But
like,
who knocked it off?
Venus,
mm-hmm. Because she understands magic,
and
they were just like, "Oh, he put something on. Kick him, punch him."
But,
and she was like, "What if we got rid of the fucking thing that literally just made him invincible?"
But when they knocked that away and the guy lost, I was like, "Don't take away the venom."
Right. And then to make it worse, both her and Donnie are fucking infighting because this is science. No, this is magic. I can't figure it out with science. Well, I can't figure it out with magic.
Plus, Leo had to go check on a turtle.
It's a fucking placebo. God damn it. Oh, yeah, yeah, Leo fucking falls in the... Yeah.
Where I come from, they're both one and the same.
In reality,
who said that?
That's Thor.
Oh, yeah, you're such a nerd, I like that.
That was really hard for me, by the way, because I don't like the Thor movies. It's got nothing to do with the movies, don't misunderstand me. I don't care for Thor. I've never been a Thor fan.
Yeah.
And that...
But I watched all his movies because as Marvel movies, they do follow the format and they're fairly enjoyable.
They are.
Right.
They are.
Other than the second. But...
remembering them spot on like that, that took me a second because I don't really care about Thor.
I get you. I'm not a Thor fan myself, but he's cool. He's cool in the MCU.
So Leo is tripping out, obsessing over this turtle from the zoo who tells him, a new way.
I know you said this at the beginning, but I finally get to do this. Because no matter what, that's your favorite turtle. I don't care. This is an alternate fucking reality, alternate dimension. It's still your favorite turtle.
In this, Venus is my favorite, but sure. Here's the only thing I can give. All the turtles do this. It's sure that Leo got over there and fucking looked at the turtle in the zoo for whatever fucking reason, but all the turtles do this because later on there's an episode where they're all fucking infatuated with a baby turtle.
Well, to be
fair.
Yep,
which is the one with the hunter.
You weren't there to see it, but I did.
Who's officially my favorite character.
You don't think I didn't roll my eyes when Raph was a fucking moron? Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to you, man? You used to be so cool. You suck. I was embarrassed. I was watching this. I was embarrassed. That was my favorite turtle.
I was embarrassed for almost every fight scene in this. In fact, I hate to do this.
What, that piss-poor choreography?
I think
the what-the-fuck sound effects. That's
oh my God,
what.
That made it worse. Possibly with better sound effects, they could have been manageable. They would have still been bad fights, but you would have been like, okay, that guy got kicked. But adding fucking Looney Tune noises really fucking brings home the ridiculousness.
It's a combination, though. The Looney Tunes noises and the fucking one-liners.
Oh, everywhere. Everybody's dropping.
The turtle terms, too. It's like Shonelicious Turtleton or something like that.
Dude, I'm so fucking tired of certified turtified.
You know what I hated in the zoo? At least, you know how in the other movies Leo couldn't use a sword? At least he did use a sword, but when he was talking to Venus, oh my fucking God. He was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Mike, you're not even fucking sword fighting.
I saw that. I was like, what are you doing?
Because then he went off screen, and then he was fighting. Then he came back.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
That is not sword fighting. Spinning in little circles is not a sword fight. I was like, I fucking hate this show.
Look, the only thing that falls in line majorly with the Power Rangers thing that I was able to fucking give it for those fights is simply the fact of sometimes in the middle of a fight, they just speed up the footage a little bit just to be like, oh yeah, no, the actors, they can't really do that properly. Let's just speed it up and make it look a little bit better. And I was like, well, at least we're getting half the episode out the fucking way.
Venus's fight in the park may have been the best fight scene of this entire 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Literally, when she fought by herself on the swing sets and shit. Yeah. And, but then there was all the fucking one-liners and shit that came with that fight and all the noises.
Slippery.
That made it so bad. But truth be told, she may have had the best fight scene of the series so far.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't like,
it's not
I didn't hate,
difficult.
But I didn't like about her fight scene against the foot, she didn't know that they were the foot, and she goes on, it's like, this is called the flying foot.
She may have known.
And she threw a foot soldier.
She may have known because she was being taught by her, put this in quotations, her grandfather, which is basically her founder, which she had a family bond.
Yep.
Turtles do not. She had a grandfather who was taking care of her, who was talking with Splinter, who knew about the other Kappa, and she may have already been informed, because also she knew how to defeat them before she ever fought them. She took them down in seconds.
Yeah.
Because she already knew about them, already knew what their strengths and weaknesses were, and already knew how to exploit them. She's better than they are.
It's like she's from an alternate dimension.
Of course,
convention.
At the same time, Shredder also isn't as good because we already established that the foot wasn't as good. Yeah. And because she's Shinobi, and she's designed to fight and kill ninja.
She is.
So.
She's trained to counteract ninja.
Yeah.
Yep. Not hard to do in this show, but.
Not hard to do in this show.
Right.
But regardless, she seems better than
and
they.
When you and when you said she was your favorite character, once again, not hard to do in this show.
Isn't it? Right. Yeah, but. We'll ask questions.
I don't know, man. Like I said, that Bone Steel dude, I love him.
So
does he at least bring some form of levity to the show?
In this last episode of the pilot,
he was fucking great. For once, I actually enjoyed a fucking episode when we get there.
So in this last part of the pilot, we once again have the Dragon Lord going on about this serum that he's going to give to all of his army, and then when they get to an aquarium, it's like, oh, yeah, you know that little
awful
thing that you got? Yeah, guess
yeah,
what? It's nothing.
Yeah, they actually discover that the one dragon guy is just talking bullshit.
Yeah.
And that the machine, whatever it is, doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, because
it's very much a placebo.
Between yeah. Donnie and Venus, they couldn't figure out what the hell it is because it really was nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very much a magical placebo effect.
Yep.
And since they're magical creatures, they probably always have access to this extra power, this magic buff, but they don't know how to utilize it. Proof of that is that if we take this back to our theory, our current running theory, that he is a Rita monster that was left behind and never dispatched, every single one of those monsters has a type of power mode, where they tap into extra power or they grow. They just don't know how to tap into it.
And towards the end of this episode, we get the turtles finally doing their shell shock move to the dragon.
Which at least makes sense why they were able to hurt. I can believe that. Their shells are supposed to be able to be strong enough to block swords and bullets. That's pretty fucking tough. If they slam him like that, I'm sure he's not happy.
Right.
Oh,
and
no.
then sometime after that battle that they won, oh, let's go head back to the sewer. And then slow-mo to some circus music of driving and stuff. The fuck?
Nah.
So, are we done with the...
The pilot, yes.
We're done with the pilot, because these next ones aren't nearly the same thing.
Yes, because I am officially on episode title, next!
The pilot almost always takes us an hour in every one of these, because we have to talk about the foundations of what came after, new characters, sometimes we have to talk about costumes and changes, and the space is going to be the same damn way.
Right.
We're going to talk about the space shuttle and Hal Zordon and all this other shit and who's missing and what.
Isn't this like the longest that a pilot took is like 5 episodes?
This is the longest pilot that Saban has ever done for us.
Yeah.
Into what we have reviewed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was a 5-parter.
Yeah. They were trying to make Green with Evil episode 1.
Right.
Fucking failed.
Fucking failed.
Fucking
failed.
Green with Evil is amazing.
Oh, right? It's a masterpiece for its time.
Now, okay, if we're done with those 5 parts, the next episode will be episode 6. The Staff of Buki?
I'm going to call bullshit right now.
Staff
before
of
the
Bukaki?
Fucking thing even starts. This fucking staff is designed by supposedly fucking magic users or shinobis or whatever the fuck it were, and it is designed to do one thing, Shane. What does the staff do?
Kills magic users.
No, it's designed to combat shinobis by turning magic against the granter. So whoever uses magic, this staff acts like a shield that reflects that magic back onto the user. And this dragon...
thinks it will kill her.
This dragon used a magic spell to take the staff.
But that's no.
Why didn't that old motherfucker that was holding the staff, when he's like, I opened up a portal, I'm going to take... Nope, I'm going to reflect this magic back on you and close that portal. You don't have arms. Fuck you, my staff.
Yeah.
Eat shit, dragon bitch.
And
then Dragon Man would be like, what the fuck?
And with a summary, being that the Dragon Lord gets a staff, you kind of think it would take a while for him to get to the staff. But no. Rip.
Exactly. Because he used a fucking magic spell that the staff should have just been able to be like, no, close that portal.
Yeah.
You don't have an arm now. Fuck you, dragon.
Not to mention the fact that everything up to now has been literally quick cuts to like A, B, C, and D story within like a fucking 19-minute episode. It's been like, oh, we gotta go get the Shredder. Okay, now let's cut to the Shredder.
Yeah.
We didn't plan anything. Let's get him! And now we cut back to the Rumble! It's my name is Mr. Kennedy!
I like that.
Kennedy! Don't worry, you won't get it. It's a wrestling joke. But anyway.
It's a good one.
Fair enough. And then they fucking cut back to the lair. Hey, did you remember to pack a lunch? Because, I mean, we're going to be a while getting the splinter, or getting out to the Shredder. To cut back to the Shredder. All right, now what's going on here? To cut back to the Turtles. Hey, there's gas in the truck, right? Okay. To cut back to Shredder. All right, so let's fuck some shit up. To cut back to the Turtles. Hey, we're driving now.
Oh, the plot is awful.
That's how this show is goddamn awful. That's how the show is gone. So, hey, I need to get a staff. Cut. Hey, look, I got a staff.
And immediately
after
that...
That's how it's been the entire fucking show.
After that, Venus is like, I sense a disturbance. In the Force?
Kind of.
In the Schwartz?
They do make fun of that. They do make fun of that, but since she's...
Obi-Wan Shinobi?
Yeah, they do make fun of it, but like I said, in the Rangers, in the world of Power Rangers, there's good magic and there's bad magic. Evil and good. That's it. There's no middle ground. There's no fucking mid-users. There's good guys and bad guys.
Right.
And because of that... When you look at this, like, Shane, there's a problem.
Shane got broken.
Yeah, I know. He's still laughing over that
dumb
joke.
Call for the man.
Man, your Schwartz is as big as mine. Yeah. He said it, man.
I heard him. But the fact that she could feel something like that makes a lot of sense because we've seen it before. Zed said it.
Yeah.
When Zordon very first fucking disappeared off the planet, the first thing he said was... There's a disturbance in the... He says there's something wrong with the morphing grid. See, the morphing grid is a power of good and evil, not one or the other, and we maintain its balance through our conflict. He said that in Power Rangers. So when one side is winning, or the other side is winning, or one side does an evil deed, the other side can feel that. And since she very much is tied into that same force, that magical force...
She's mystic.
Since something just happened, she did sense it. That makes perfect sense for her.
She's mystical.
It's just like in the Force, when the dark side starts winning and they say, oh, there's something wrong, I feel death or something like that.
I sense a disturbance
in
the Force.
She's tied into that
it's
same
as if a
mystical
million
force.
Lives died at once.
Speaking of which, after she explains some stuff, Mikey just asks Venus to give him a hand job.
What did he say?
The way he was sitting and talking like that, it's like, you want her to give you a hand job.
Dude, I've seen weird shit in this series since, because like they're trying to push the idea that the brothers like want to hook up with her.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but this, I had to ask a very disgusting question. I had to do it, because I couldn't avoid it, because they keep bringing it up. I said to myself, they're not related. Okay?
Yeah, they're not.
Now, I don't know the sexual orientations and fucking things of a turtle, okay? But I do know the ideas of a human. And if I was a 17-year-old male that had done nothing but jerk my gigantic fucking turtle pud my whole life, and all of a sudden there was a turtle chick, because they haven't even had April, okay? There's been zero fucking release besides Circle Jerks when Master Splinter isn't paying attention. At 17 years old.
Watching the mating habits of a turtle on the Discovery Channel.
They were doing that too. They were watching the mating habits of a turtle on the Discovery Channel.
While eating popcorn.
So look, what I'm trying to tell you is that at 17 fucking years old, when you've never had anything but your brother's hand, you're so goddamn pent up that when this chick shows up, I can't help but wonder, because I'm sorry, girls and guys, the girls might deny it from time to time, but they're a lot more social about it now than they've been in the past, especially in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, you go on Twitter, you see all kinds of girls that are begging for that attention, because when your sex drive starts to kick in, and you're a teenager, puberty is a motherfucker.
Yep.
And these fucking turtles... there's something really crazy, creepy, and possibly scary hentai that is happening with one girl that all of a sudden lives with four turtles, and that girl and those four turtles are all 17.
There's a video on the internet, it's called Pizza Time or Turtle, something like that, like Pizza Power or something. It's I don't recommend viewing it unless
I'm
you're
just saying,
crazy, but yeah.
It was because they keep making sexual advances towards her.
And immediately after this, we get the Dragon Lord talking about how he wants things messy.
Constantly
this is
make,
his, this is supposed to be a kid's show, right?
Yeah, well, but he also
they already talked about booty calls.
Yeah.
And the fucking turtles say the word hell, not shell. I heard the word hell twice.
Yeah.
And this is supposed
because
to be a kid's show.
Because they knew it would get by the censors.
Yeah. Because they said shell so many times that when I heard him say it, I was like, no, I misheard that. So I rewound the motherfucker and heard him say, what the hell? Hell. H. There was no S, damn it. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus not to mention the fact that they're also making other jokes, too, like a dumbass is trying to call himself the Thunder Lizard. I'm sorry, sir. Godzilla, you are not.
Shane is morbidly disturbed now that he knows about fucking teenage antic porno turtles.
Yeah.
You have fried what brain cells I had.
That's why I told you, motherfuckers, don't do this in 1 or 2 days. I watched 3 episodes on Tuesday.
Oh, dude.
I watched 4 episodes on Wednesday because I burnt the fuck out of my fingers, if you can see, making goddamn dinner because I was a fucking dumbass and grabbed a hold of the damn pan not thinking. And it was like, huh. My fingers are on fire.
So we got Venus and Donnie working on airplanes that has chi in them, which apparently chi is aka Doom Guy powers. It's whatever the plot calls for.
No, it's just like Rita. It's magic. Sure, yeah. She's calling it chi, but she was trained in shinobi magic. Oh, and more credence to the idea that this does tie into Power Rangers. When the Rangers lost their powers, what did they do? When the first time the Rangers ever truly lost their powers, when the powers were destroyed, what did they do?
Ninja magic.
They went to get ninja magic.
Ninja!
Ninja magic is a thing.
Oh, wait, are we counting the movie or the ninja?
Either. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
They went, their powers were gone, they went to get ninja magic. Ninja magic is shinobi. Shinobi is what she was trained in.
Right.
She is trained in the magic of ninja powers.
So regardless of whether they took a 40-day teleport with cheese sandwiches, talks to whistle stick bitch who lives from shore to Stonehenge, and that's fucking it, or...
But she knows the power is over there. You just go over there. And now that you're out of cheese sandwiches, you can either believe her or, oh, I'm an owl.
So how am I supposed to get there?
Up,
well,
I'm an owl.
Well, you need to go. Bye.
And don't forget to suck the dew from the leaves.
Because you got to get that water.
I'm so thirsty.
So you can either do that shit.
Watch out for guy with ball cap.
With ball cap is roaming around the forest because he lives Stonehenge to power. There's a thirsty motherfucker too. There ain't no water.
I can't get to the ocean. This
sucks territory. Sucks the dew off the leaves in the morning to survive. and he's picked every fucking creature bone clean.
Why do you think they fought a bone monster?
He's so hungry.
Can we talk about that instead? I'm laughing. You see, life has come back.
Yeah, I know.
But now, no, he's in a start. Yeah. And now.
So, yes, it makes sense that she could just do magic things, because Rita and Ninjor just do magic things.
Yeah.
Ninjor had the most.
This universe does make sense in this awful context. Yeah. Zordon just does things.
I was gonna say, speaking of awful, the Dragon Lord appears and more or less pulls Venus out from the sewer into the streets.
Using the
chi that she's, because basically she's using the chi to control the fucking planes. Yeah. So he says,
let me use the planes
to control the chi to fucking control
she
you.
Can he redirects that magic onto her.
And yanks her out. In which case, the turtles slowly follow because
they went and got lunch.
They went to the Chinese restaurant and came walking out while still eating. It's like,
they said, fuck her. And they went and got Chinese food and then walked out into the street eating their lunch and being like,
Oh, hey, guys.
We made a stop because we're literally not fucking concerned at all.
Plus, we know you're going to monologue a while, so.
Yeah, you're going to be evil villain monologuing. We got time for lunch.
Yeah. And this is where we get Leo teabagging somebody, along with the secondary booty call.
He did that shit. I think it was supposed to be a very different move, but he jumps off of a box and puts his turtle balls right in the face of that dragon man and then rides him to the floor. Bow! And then takes him to the ground. And I was like, Leonardo just teabagged a motherfucker. Uh-huh. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'd have been the director, I'd have been like, all right, maybe we need to redo that part right there. And they'd be like, oh, no, I just fucking kicked. No, you didn't kick him. No. That was not what took place.
In professional wrestling, we call that a Lou Thesz press. He just did it to the guy's face instead.
So we're gonna do a retake. We're
not gonna do the fucking Leonardo turtle balls attack. It's highly fucking inappropriate.
You know, after that episode, that's why they fucking.
And I swear to you, the fucking guys that were supposed to be supervising this, the censors, probably sat through the first pilot, and then as each one of these came up, they were like, "Sure, whatever, send it."
Yeah.
Oh, they're fucking like, we got to censor this. Yeah, hey, did you censor that?
Yeah, we did.
It's
done. I did my job. Don't worry.
It's done. Whatever. Send it. So fucking print.
Couldn't pay me enough.
Well, Shane, we're on to the next episode. What's the next episode?
Actually, we're not there yet. Because
Greg
Lord has to zap
the staff back. Yeah.
He zaps Venus, and the turtles are just watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ralph doesn't throw aside to break the staff or anything. No. They just watch.
Yeah, they just watch her get fucking... Literally, this is motherfucking Luke Skywalker, not with all the buildup, but this is fucking Luke Skywalker getting zapped by the Emperor while four people that could do something go, damn, that looks like it hurts.
God, that sucks.
And then she teleports them back to base.
Must suck to fucking fight the dark side of the douche.
Yeah.
I need to contemplate on whether or not I'm going to save him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a bad guy, but if I save him, does that make me a good guy? Ooh, I've got questions. I'll answer. Keep doing what you're doing.
Here's another question. You have a powerful staff that can really damage Venus, and yet you got...
Which seems to be the only thing that's really stopping him from winning.
And once he gets slightly defeated, he throws it back to the past.
No, he just gives it back to that old dude. He's like, take your shit back. It didn't fucking work. This is Dragon Ball Z logic.
Did.
I tried once and it didn't work.
It kind of did work, though.
It's the ocean dub
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
We do it one time. If it doesn't fucking work, we never do it again. Four arms? Nope, didn't work. I couldn't beat up Goku. Never mind that it was incredibly fucking versatile and I could do duo tri beams, but no. Nope, didn't work the first time. I'm done.
Let me do my multi-form technique. That way then I could fight like eight guys at once.
Nope, my power splits. I suck. Nope.
Yep, nope. It fucked up once. Never doing it
again. Let me do fucking extendy crazy arms thing. Nope. Got punched in the face. I'm done with that.
Why do you think that they made fun of it?
And then fucking not only that, but Piccolo has the ability to change his body size to anything he wants. Case in point. Look at Dende. How old is motherfucking Dende? He's a young kid, right? Makes a lot of sense. Little kid. Do you know that Dende is as old, if not a little older, than Piccolo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Piccolo has been body changing his size his whole fucking life and lying about his age.
Yep. Ching, Lord Slug. Big Namek.
Yep.
But we're never going to use that move because it didn't work the one time we tried it in the Tenkaichi Budokai.
Yep.
Nope, double that.
Right.
So, yeah, now we're on to the next episode.
So we're never using that staff, because it didn't work perfectly time one.
Yeah. Episode 7, Silver and Gold.
Oh, this shit.
Okay, so we can skip over this entire episode. Future Scott, play Monkey Man by Real Big Fish, Zoot Suit Riot by Cherry Pop and Dandies,
Money
by Pink Floyd, and the Get Smart theme. That'll cover this entire episode. Good. Next!
Good. Where the hell did the fucking Dick Tracy costume villains fucking come from?
When this set came out on DVD originally, and I bought it, this is the episode where I'm like, done.
There's a monkey man.
This is
No explanation whatsoever. He's the last of his kind.
Yeah, from the Himalayas.
Which, here's my best guess. It has to tie back into Rita.
Bigfoot.
Rita originally controlled the planet. That's part of the story, is she had won. She took over Earth 10,000 years ago. That means she had generals. She must have created a swarm of monsters. One monster got sealed in a mirror. Another monster interbred throughout the course of history and slowly extinct, and he's the last fucking one.
And this is the episode where Raphael says, it's Leo that says, we're ninja, not Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. But that means they do know,
yep,
because the Rangers are here. And all the magic and all the monsters and things like that, they're only so surprised. Because a lot of these enemies are seeing the turtles and they're not nearly reacting the same way as they used to. Because now, monsters are a thing.
Yep.
Monsters. It happens. Every week, to be precise.
No. Which is probably the reason why it is they could drive around on a motorcycle in a fucking Humvee in the middle of New York City.
How often
the city
does Raphael lose
his muffler? Every fucking time, because just like, it's morphin' time! Tyrannosaurus!
Yeah, it's all stock footage.
It's all stock.
And
they
like,
did it once.
Yeah, but that's just it.
Because there's an episode later where Donatello disappears, and you can see him fucking riding on the Humvee.
But that is why
we don't
this
have recycled
is,
the one
that's
here.
Why
because
this
they
is,
both come out at the same time this time. So it's not just separate. They both come out at the same time. It's like, oh, look, it's not recycled.
But it is. It has to be because that one thing where he loses the muffler every time because it is stock footage.
Yeah.
They filmed this fucking thing once, and they said, that's all we'll ever need. But that adds to the idea of just how bad the show is, because if I was fucking filming it, and that he had driven out and lost that muffler, I'd be like, hold on, stop. And I'd have fucking fixed it, because it's literally a fucking 6-second scene at most. And I'd have said, I'm going to need to get that again. All it would have taken was for the director to say, because somebody was in charge of directing stock footage. Yeah. They got the turtles driving in the daytime, turtles driving at nighttime, the turtles pulling in, the turtles pulling out, a couple fashion shots. That's fine.
Yeah.
But then the same fucking director, the muffler fell off, and he's like, add a fucking noise effect. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He couldn't be bothered to redo a 6-second scene.
Yeah. No. Which is literally get on the bike and drive for like 2 seconds.
I'm going to bring
and,
up
and
something.
And like I said, there's Donnie gets kidnapped later. Donnie's on the same fucking Humvee.
This has come up on multiple Turtle series and movies, how they're ninja, they're supposed to stay in the shadows, how they're not supposed to be seen. We got Mikey running across the street after some guy looking at a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, stealthy way there, Mikey.
But that's because they were not trained as ninjas.
Yeah.
They were trained in ninjutsu, but there's very much, this is different. History has changed, and they were not trained the same. And in fact, Raphael doesn't even agree with the Foundation at all. He's told in the first episode, you are meant to be one with the night, be silent, be deadly, be warrior, be shadow. And he's like, for what? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Whereas they don't care.
Yeah, whereas before in the first movie, Wrath gets pissed and damn near kills everybody because I lost a sight!
Yeah, he was the one that fucked up and didn't follow that foundation, and it nearly broke him as a person. But now, he's the first guy to be like, I really don't give a shit. So the foundation of all this has changed. Like, Mikey running across the street like an idiot? It makes sense, because they were never trained that way.
No. Just like, come on, guys, we gotta sneak in. Shh! You're shushing too loud.
Well,
shh!
Oh my gosh.
As they sneak!
And the mobster's dialogue. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, I was kind of done with this episode.
Did you like this Monkey Man, Shane?
Oh, this is where I tuned out.
But Shane,
no.
Mustard bananas.
Nope, nope, nope. Listen, man, when I saw this monkey dude, I looked. But, I heard him talk. I'm like, nope.
But Shane, don't you know?
Oh, when you
all
heard
the gold in
that's where I broke.
Yeah,
no,
but,
man, I was already broke. I was already a broken man.
By the way, Shane, if you look at the salad that was being made at the very start of this, it is salad, croutons, onions, bananas, mustard.
Yep.
That is what Michelangelo was eating.
See, to me, that would be okay for a salad until he threw in the mustard.
Banana salad?
You could throw in some bananas.
Yeah, you can put fruit in a salad.
Depending on what
kind of dressing you're using.
Oh, and whipped cream. I'm sorry, there was also.
Now it gets weird.
Which I was about to say that one myself.
I don't like whipped cream.
I'm gonna have chocolate ice cream fries.
I'm gonna have chocolate
ice cream fries in front of you.
If you do that,
I'm gonna do it.
If you do that right
I'm gonna
now.
Do it.
If you do
don't
that,
never find your
hold
body.
On. No. If you do that, I need you to go to Five Guys and get the Cajun fries, because that'll make it a hell of a lot better.
Plus, get a
then
bunch
I'm gonna
of cool
get
whip.
Some ranch for the fries when I run out of fucking
get Cool Whip
chocolate.
Along with the ready cream.
Actually, put
see
ranch
what like?
On the chocolate and then
see
do
what
the
that's
fries.
Like. We definitely like different things, because banana salad. I can't even fucking
if you
imagine.
Put like a raspberry vinaigrette.
Okay.
Dressing, it's fine.
Let me put it to you this way. One of the worst things I've ever eaten
we're gonna
in
eat,
my entire
we're
gonna life.
Eat here. We're going to eat shortly after
God,
Michelle
I'm
gets
dying
home.
Over here.
Shortly after Michelle gets home, we're going to eat, and I want to go somewhere with a banana salad, and I want you to order it. I'm dead fucking serious.
I don't know where I would find one.
I got something better for him. You can come over to my house, right? I got 2 boxes of mac and cheese left.
I don't like mac and cheese.
Don't care. I'm going to make up the mac and cheese, and you can have some with me. Because instead of regular milk, I'm going to use chocolate milk.
No. Shredded lettuce.
I had to do that
shredded
once.
Lettuce, tomatoes, shredded lettuce, tomatoes, onions, croutons, bananas, and mustard.
Shane.
Oh, I never said
with
the
whipped cream.
With whipped cream.
Shane. Next Sprinkles. Episode.
Next episode. We are on this too. Ooh. First episode of this two is Meat Dr. Queese.
I don't despise this villain necessarily.
Oh,
well
fucking
if,
Dr.
If you
Wiley want
to refer
wanna
to him as a villain or just a bad guy.
I'll say bad guy.
Yeah, I'm going to say bad guy too, because he's not really villainous.
Yeah.
He's one of those, exactly like I made the joke of, he's fucking Dr. Wiley.
Actually, I put him down as a bad guy.
No,
because
Wiley's even, quote, evil. This dude very much is, he's a scientist that wants results. And he is under the same foundation as some other scientists that say,
Stockman?
If we, no,
no,
no, not Stockman. Stockman's, no. Look, what this dude is an actual warning. This guy is a good character trope. He's a warning to society that this dude has done amazing things. But who suffered for him to make those amazing things?
A lot of people.
A lot of people. But does it matter? Now here's where things get really scary. Some of the worst things in human history have led to some of the greatest things in human history.
Yeah.
In fact, some of the things that were expressly outlawed, like back when we started learning, quote, hardcore anatomy, it was illegal to study different things like that. These grave robbers would go get bodies and dissect them to learn what the human body did and was on the inside. And it was not appropriate
or
accepted.
I thought some cases, some people do just recently dead bodies for that, too.
That's it happens all the time.
Yes,
there's
no.
There's medical research that's taking place all the time that's against ethics. But if it yields the result,
like in Japan, literally in Japan, a week ago type of thing, a guy in Japan literally got fined thousands of dollars and almost had his science fucking license revoked because he literally did the first gene editing on humans. With a set of twins
to make them immune
to all diseases. And they were like, we didn't okay human testing. He said, fuck, you're okay for human testing.
Had results.
Sometimes it's got to happen. And we got good results. And they said, well, yeah, you got good results, but you were supposed to clear that with us. It was like, fuck it. Sometimes you just got to do shit.
This guy falls into that foundation. He is creating technologies that are questionable. But would be immensely beneficial.
Like having the ability to tap into the internet with your brain.
But ethically that guy is broken and he doesn't give a fuck who has to suffer for science to advance. Yeah. So while he's not a villain, he is a bad guy.
Although then again, considering the fact that all of the students who are in his
cult following?
Literally they're in a fucking cult room, like cult robes. Sitting inside of the
I was confused at what the fuck that was about, too. Because they weren't like his followers. They were even questioning his methods.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be giving a thing at like a college or school or some shit.
He was giving a lecture at some school as everybody's wearing like maybe. Some form of a cult robe.
No. This is incredibly fucking stretched. They could have been from a religious society.
That's true.
They could have literally been like from a religious society, a certain kind of religious school that doesn't necessarily shun the fact that technology exists, but they don't give in to the whole consumerism thing and they all have a uniform, which is like monk robes. I'm stretching it hard, but these kind of places do exist.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where he was.
Yeah, because he even freaks out. He's like, you know, just be glad I'm even fucking here because I need the damn money.
Yeah, because it wasn't even a place that he would have gone to.
Yeah.
He accepted it because he was given a grant to come talk about shit. So he's a shitty guy.
Yeah.
So the shitty guy gets captured.
Yes.
They had to go rescue him with a low-tech rescue by way of motorcycle and Hummer.
And at first,
because Donnie goes off on his own.
But at first, giving truth to the whole he's just a shitty guy, he had zero interest whatsoever in helping a dragon man until...
He saw all this tech that he can use.
No.
Donatello.
Even the tech didn't really do it. When he was told by Dragon Man... my goal here is to study mutant genetics, and that's his field of research.
And he's like, okay.
Now, what about your ethics in this field? He says, I don't give a shit what you do. My goal here is that I become a fucking super mutant, and I already know of five scary mutants that if we could catch them and you could dissect them, I don't give a fuck what you do with them.
But
and he's
technically
like,
they're six.
He's like, oh shit. And then he was excited because he was given the go-ahead to catch and mutilate fucking turtles, which he was going to do. He was going to dissect Donatello.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Donnie shows up and starts fucking techno babble, and the guy's like, oh, this one's smart. Okay, here's how we play into this one. I keep his fucking intelligence ego going.
First
like,
we catch
oh,
him,
smart.
Then we study him a bit, but we don't dissect. We just study.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he did...
And then we
he
have
did.
To cut him the fuck up and get
they
him the
skipped,
train.
They skipped it, but he told Donatello he was going to inject nanobots.
Yes.
So, and then they just skipped to another scene after
so
Donatello
did he
was
do it?
Like, well, Donatello told him, if you fucking do that, it's not going to do anything because there's no way those nanobots can discern my DNA from human DNA, which Donatello's talking shit. There has to be a major fucking legitimate difference in human DNA, and you're a big goddamn turtle.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, mutated turtle.
Basically the same.
Oh, and there's more proof that he did inject those nanobots and get some kind of result, because later he was able to rapid-fire identify their DNA, which means that information had to come from somewhere, because he was able to build clones.
So he got some DNA info, which is
so
not enough.
Those robots must have been used.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dragon Lord gets captured with a net.
Wow. Yeah. That happens a lot in this show.
Mikey gets cross-eyed in this episode. Big whoop.
Yeah. You gonna make it, Shane?
I'm hungry. This sucks.
Don't worry.
We're getting almost done.
We're on episode 9 now, which should be the next episode.
All in the Family.
Yeah, this is where they find the pet turtle.
Oh, hey! The Beetlejuice
wannabe. Oh, the pet turtle thing?
Yeah. Along with the hunter.
Yeah, the hunter, the Beetlejuice wannabe. Which is the only fucking levity that actually made me enjoy this for a
Simon
little bit.
Simon Bonesaw-steel.
Oh my god.
Bonesaw's ready!
It's such a... I put it down as a Craven ripoff, but now it's like, no. Craven's not this bad.
It was almost like they couldn't do fucking Leatherhead. Because in our show, in our crappy cartoon show, when we were growing up, Leatherhead was like an Aussie fucking hunter dude.
Yeah.
He even wore the
hat. I guarantee.
Yeah. So, that's basically what this dude was supposed to be taking the place of.
And then also we got Turtles doing a PSA on how humans stink because of the hunting and stuff that they do.
Was that? I thought that was the next episode this dude was in.
They have a brief thing here, and then...
They do two PSAs with this dude so far. The first one is in this where, yeah... You know, why would there baby turtles in this? Well, because what ends up happening is you get these turtles and you buy them as pets for your kids, and the kids think that they're toys. So the kids end up killing them on accident. So you got to be a better parent to your pets by not killing your pets.
Yeah,
thank
you,
PSA. Moving on.
It's very much a fucking PSA episode where they were like, take care of your shit.
But at least the hunter is fucking psychotic enough and acting like Beetlejuice enough that I was like, yay, something fun.
But at the
same time, my brain cells were deadened at this point. So
I was going to say that
it's more fun.
The mind trick that they do doesn't exactly help the mind numbing that we already have. So, dude.
Oh, so I can go? No. Well, but you said you could go.
Oh, my
you
God.
As you, not you as
yeah.
a me.
Yeah.
What? My brain hurts. Hold on.
Here, like,
my brain already hurts.
Let me hold that for you.
Now.
And now you can go.
No.
Shane, what's going on over there, man?
I am completely dead inside.
Oh, and of course the beginning of this was so great.
Are you dead inside?
Hey, guys, let's go for
you
a fun run
be.
By getting on the fucking motorcycle
be.
And Humvee and driving
oh, yeah,
to the sewer.
For their little
so
jog.
We can go for a jog.
And they stopped their jog because they got tired and they started smelling pizza. That they apparently don't like.
Next!
No, it's not that they don't like it. It's that they're not addicted to it. Only the cartoon had them addicted to it.
Yeah.
In the movie, they ate pork rinds and tacos
and
Slim Jims and Butterfingers.
No, because even then they only ate a lot of pizza boxes. One time. They had a lot of pizza boxes because they were ordering out, but they were also eating donuts and drinking shit. And like,
the cartoon is primarily where the fucking addiction
came from, was the cartoon.
That's the reason why it is that in the second movie, that's why there's all those pizza boxes on April's counter. Mm. They've been living there for months. So they would
because
still
their
eat
toilet
other
got
shit.
Ransacked.
Yeah, but they would still eat other shit.
I know.
But most other shit you could throw in a garbage can. A pizza box? I don't know about you. But I have a hell of a time putting a pizza box in my garbage can.
Mikey was even a fan of eating fucking loud pretzel sticks.
Yeah.
Could you crunch
either,
any louder?
That was either he was supposed...
It was a candy bar.
He was supposed to have either been eating a Butterfinger, or it's one of those, there's the fucking, like, the churro stick candies that they still have
the
down
fact
at the
of,
gas
The fact of the matter is that
like
movie and live action-wise, they eat any fucking thing they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
So, next episode.
Oh, yeah, Donnie the Idiot. Yeah.
Trusting Dr. Queese.
I'm sorry, I called this one Donnie the Idiot.
Also, the doctor having a good side, somewhat.
Yeah.
Whatever benefited him.
Yeah,
but it was played up. It was played up by the doctor so he could get more samples and do his experimentation. He's a lot like Bishop. He just wants these fucking turtles now.
Yeah.
And thanks to Donnie and Queese,
yes,
his name Queese,
yeah,
they figured out how to teleport stuff. Congrats.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were going to use it to put the fucking big bad back in the fucking mirror universe.
Now, what does this have to do with mutation?
This part?
Technically speaking?
Teleporting.
At this point? Nope,
I could tell you part of
teleporting
it.
Teleporting stuff.
I could tell you part of it right now.
Okay.
You're a scientist guy. You have very little moral value whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The only thing you know is what you want and what you need. You have what you want and what you need, but now you answer to a fuckbag.
So you want to teleport the fuckbag away, along with teleporting yourself away from
the
fuckbag.
If you could get rid of the fuckbag at any time, if you could develop a background, like, look, I need to get these mutants because it's what I want to do. I want to further my own shit, get a grant, become a legitimate scientist, be a motherfucking scientific hero.
But I also want to get rid of this douchebag.
But I also need to get rid of this dragon man at some point. So I need to have it the possibility that once he served his purpose and done what he could do for me, I need to get rid of him. And that's part of what this episode was.
Yeah. Until Donnie, instead of saying, hey, let's just get rid of his ass now, and then you and, you know, like, we can all just back and forth fight. Instead, Donnie comes up and goes, hey, this is the only weapon we can use to get rid of the bad guy. No more weapon to get rid of bad guy. Because you used me. I'm sorry. I got used. Well, fuck it. I don't like you anymore.
Leave the weapon. Talking about when he, like, weakly swings that fucking chair at that machine?
Yes. No, I think that one was the second time.
That's the 13th episode.
Yeah, that's episode 13. This one, he literally, he fucking grabs the disc up, like, grabs the dude's fucking CD-ROM with the fucking...
The technology stuff that he was planning.
No, it's an Alanis Morissette CD. It's got the engravings on it, because they're in Canada. So he grabs up the Alanis Morissette CD and fucking walks away.
No! Jagged Little Pill!
Yeah, he's like, none more for you! And he takes the CD and a book, and he fucking walks out the door, and he's like, you can't do this. Which, by the way, anybody who's an actual fucking scientist would know that science can be replicated!
And backed up.
Well, no, because the guy even said, this is my only copy. Doesn't matter. There's another copy up here.
Mm-hmm.
Which all he's got to do is work
backward. but that's not true anymore. It's not true anymore. We have entered an age of scientific discovery and advancement that is incredibly fucking dangerous. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, no, he's
you
right.
Don't, you really don't understand. If something happened tomorrow that destroyed our computer systems, that shut us down, we cannot rebuild from this point. We can't do it. It is literally not fucking possible. Because even the simplest little thing, like your cell phone, this thing right here, do you know how many scientists it actually takes and engineers to make this one phone?
A dozen?
Here's the truth of it. The sum of human knowledge is this desk. You have a literal master's degree in the field of something as simple as fucking, okay, even doctors. You are not a doctor that knows everything. You are a doctor that knows feet. You take up this much of the board. That's it. That's the sum of your knowledge. This is human knowledge. If something happened tomorrow, one man can't build this again by himself. If you had all the parts, yes, maybe one man could assemble it. But one man can't make that microchip, program the board, to create the operating system. He can't do this again.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a group of people to keep us on the technological curve that we're on, all working together in perfect unison. And even then, it still takes notes of the previous discoveries to make that happen. So if you remove the information, mush it.
Yeah, that's the reason why actual, like, technological geniuses like fucking Elon Musk and that, they not only have the big fucking companies to, like, make their shit, several of the floors of their big companies are offline storage devices to hold on to blueprints and documents and other sorts of shit.
And if
they know that.
If that
the internet
tower,
drops, you're fucked.
But if that tower got bombed.
Right.
And that genius guy was the only guy that had it, he doesn't know it. I don't give a fuck how smart he is. He doesn't fucking know it. You can't put him in a warehouse by himself and tell him, make that. from scratch, make it.
Yeah.
He can't do it.
I need a new S8 stat. My screen broke.
We have actually hit a level of technological superiority now that if something happened that was extremely detrimental, that cost us a sum of human knowledge, we could literally see a dark ages of technology. And believe it or not, we may be approaching a technological slowdown of immense proportions very soon, because the world may very soon need to focus on something else.
Yep.
We're not going to get into that shit here, but we are approaching certain foundations right now within the next 50 years that could really put a damper on all technological advancement.
Next episode.
Yep.
Beep! 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 Beep!
Episode 11.
The car alarm fucking
Windfall.
The return of the fucking ape.
Silver steals a flask and tries to steal a lotto ticket.
Woo!
Oh,
and then Mikey gets...
He does steal a winning lotto ticket.
Then Mikey gets it, and then the ape gets it again, and then the...
And they don't respect Splinter the same way. He tries to tell them...
And this where it comes up really badly. It's like...
They were like, guys... Splinter literally tells them straight to their face, he's like, what exactly do you think you could do with millions of dollars? How would you spend it? How would
you
collect it?
With human money you cannot collect. Fuck you. We're going to go spend the money.
Now, at least the Monkey Man has human people that can go cash it in.
Yeah.
There is no April here.
Now, this is where...
There is no Casey.
This episode is where it really sinks in that it's no longer father-son because of... The lottery ticket was going to, like, what was that, a 90-year-old man or something like that?
And then 60 or 70.
Yeah, he's younger than that. He's like,
and
he's
Mikey
like
goes on, like,
maybe 60.
What's the old man going to do with it? And they're like, oh.
Well, it's not, this is really going to sound shitty, but they didn't necessarily have an illegitimate argument. Listen, let's be honest here. If you're fucking 69, 68, 67, 72, and you then win the lotto, sure, it's great. But what are you going to do?
You're
going to
enjoy as much as you can out of it, but...
What?
I mean, the guy who wins it could end up dying next week or next month.
But that's just it. That's the argument.
Yeah.
Look, this is going to sound really shitty, but I'm really... I've been trying to purposely challenge myself with mass ethical debate and kind of restructure myself into what I was 10, 15 years ago. And it's been a hard grind, but asking some of these questions is important because you need to know where you stand in the ethical scale of who you are as a person. Yep. But realistically, as that old man, and he's 72 years old or whatever, and you give him that money, he can secure the foundation for his children, maybe.
If he has grandchildren.
But I would make an argument that if he secures the foundation of his children, you may inadvertently create another fucking Paris Hilton that never had to do shit for her money.
I can think of other douchebags.
Oh, there's a lot of them now.
There's a lot of them now because that's
a foundation in America that's very popular. It's shitty fucking people that never earned a goddamn thing for themselves, being able to do anything they want at any time because they were given that opportunity.
In fact, there's a giant fight in court right now going on because of that shit.
But, however, you could take the same ticket and give it to somebody like the Turtles, and they could raise themselves out of the sewers. Now, I don't know how they would get the thing cashed or whatever, but look, realistically...
The blind man.
They have an idea... Yeah, the blind man.
Yeah.
Okay, since they have a foundational idea... They could take half that money and put it into the police force. They do care about justice.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may not be the same turtles, but they do give a shit.
Yeah.
Some of that money will go to some organizations and whatnot and make a little things better.
Mike even goes, I'm going to put like a quarter of it into like a wildlife foundation for saving endangered animals. Well, maybe like 15%.
But
10.
But look,
right, fine.
but there is an argument to be made here. Listen, what do you think, because this is gonna bum you out a little bit, but what do you think the future for the Turtles is?
Same as everybody else.
No, it's not.
Death.
No. It's going to be worse for them.
True.
When their master finally gets old enough to be sick and fucking die, do you know what your options are? And I'm not, I wish this on nobody, but mm-hmm. just for argument purposes, your relative gets sick. You had a hospital. You had some kind of option. Whether it worked or it didn't, there was a gleam of hope somewhere in your life. When the turtles get sick, they're fucking dead. Mm-hmm. There is no foundation in place in modern society for monster people.
Yeah. In fact, going back to the pilot, when Splinter gets trapped in there, they're like, oh man, Splinter doesn't seem like he's getting too well. Well, I'll go get a doctor. Well, don't you mean a veterinarian? I'll get a doctor and a veterinarian.
But he said I would abduct.
Yeah.
They have no options. None. They are monsters living in man's society with no rights at all. Proven by the scientific community, the only representative that we see, that wants to dissect them. And you'd be damned fool. You'll be a damn fool if you think that they could respectively say, hey, by the way, society, we're over here. And you'd be a damn idiot to believe that hundreds of millions of thousands of people would not either crucify them as monsters or come for them in their sleep to figure out what they are, how they are, why they are, and how to do it again.
And then, of course, there's the third option, which is, of course, the people would show up and turn them into a cult.
So they have two options as they age without money. One, finally become too weak and too sick to go find food and fucking starve to death in a sewer. Or two, once they reach a certain point, off themselves. This is the truth of their future. Mm-hmm. They don't have any possible move on after sickness finally hits them. And be damn well and sure, sickness will hit them. They live in the sewer.
The fact that because the mutation did give them a longer lifespan, rats mm-hmm. only have what? Jesus.
Yeah, rats don't
six,
have
seven
five,
years.
Six, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they don't live very long.
Splinter, because of the mutation, could probably live to be 60, 70.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It depends on what age Splinter was before the mutation.
It's also arguable as to how much human DNA got incorporated through that mutagen into their mm-hmm. system. Because they might still age like dogs. We don't know this for sure, but the turtles could actually be 38 or 42.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. We do not know how they age.
Hell, technically the mutagen still could have been like 2 or 3 years ago.
But turtles have massive longevity. Maybe they're only 12.
Yeah.
By the standards of what they are, even with human DNA.
Tortoises can live to be 100.
Yeah.
Easily.
So maybe they live 60 years.
Yeah.
But that rat...
That rat
could be dead in the next 4 years. And when he finally does get sick and starts to die, the only thing they can do is watch him die or fucking kill him.
That's the sad truth. They're turtles.
They don't have a foundation moving forward. But with money, and this is sick, but with money, they could.
Yeah.
They could help to build certain areas of society through money influence
where they could
build law enforcement things and do certain things. And then behind the scenes, because money talks, and this is disgusting, but it's true, behind the scenes they could make friends in the medical community and they could sell off portions of their DNA and secrets to get certain rewards like, hey, I'm sick, I need a vet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is disgusting, but it's a true argument.
I'll give you $1 million.
It does come down to
and a little bit of blood and
but at the same time,
off my finger.
At the same time, that old man who rightfully owns that ticket now has it in his hands to do better for himself for whatever time he has left, but he doesn't get to do anything like we would do. If you won the fucking lottery today, you could do a million things. You could better your life through education.
Yeah.
He can't. I'm sorry, he can't. He's fucking 60-something. It's never too late to learn, but it is too late to be fucking 68 years old and think that even after you got a master's degree, which would happen around the time that you're like fucking 81 or some shit like that, and then that you would get a job. You won't. You fucking won't. You're too goddamn old.
Yeah.
Now, he could set a foundation for his kids and make them better people, but I already made the argument of what else that could lead to, too.
Yeah. Whereas for the rest of us, especially like you and me, Shane, already know exactly what it would be.
okay, I'm going to take the money, I'm going to buy a fucking house, because I'm tired of this fucking renting apartments and fucking douchebags owning them.
I already know what I would do if I won the lottery.
And
what?
Then after that,
why, for, well, depends.
The fuck else.
How much did I win? Give me a number. I need a number.
Assume, well, it's the same amount as the Turtles.
Let's just say,
what did they win?
It's like $125 million.
$125 million. Yeah. Sure. What the fuck ever. It's yours.
So you won the regular Illinois lotto, because that sounds about right for a regular state lotto.
$125 million. I walk into Caterpillar and be like, bye, done with you. I'm done.
But that, okay, well, the $125 million, you could set $1 million aside and buy medical insurance the rest of your life.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Go for
yes.
it.
Done with that shit.
Technically, you'd have to set aside $2 million because you're going to need life insurance, but then you're also going to need money for taxes. But
I don't need life insurance.
Yeah,
life insurance covers my funeral when I die. I don't need that. I have $125 million, and I will make sure that it's written in my will that goes to somebody.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, I need surgery. How much is my surgery going to cost you? Oh, it's going to cost you about $50,000. Oh, I don't care.
$50,000 is okay, but it won't cost $1 million. It won't cost $1 million.
Right. No. It'll be somewhere in the hundreds.
But with medical insurance, part of that is covered. You set $1 million to the side, pay for medical insurance for the rest of your life.
Now, here's the thing. For me, I'm different, though, because, like, after I'm done, retired at 30 years old.
Yes.
My first thing would do is, I would help my parents.
Okay.
I would get them out of debt. Pay all their bills off, they're done.
Nice.
Now, I would help my dad get the surgery he needs for his knee. Well, actually, he doesn't need
it. So that he can go do his retirement.
Yeah, I would give my dad money so he could retire early. So he could go and do his golfing, his fishing that he likes to do. He could do that every fucking day.
That's fine.
Right. Yeah, no, I do about the same shit. Yeah.
Then I would come over here and rub my money in your face before giving you something.
That I believe.
Oh. From Shane, yes.
It's so sad, but I 100% believe
it. Yeah, I could see him. He'd be walking up and be like, oh, look at all my money.
I would walk in
here.
$1,000.
I would
walk in this room and I would look around like, it's all mine. There you go. It's mine. I own this room.
Own this room.
You just take care of my shit.
You get to keep it here, but this is my room. So if I feel like coming over at 2 a.m, you better have a motherfucking key ready for me. I'm going to come in and look at my stuff.
I build a staircase for this window.
Yep.
So you have to literally walk up to the window and fucking unlock it and slide it open. This is dumb. Like, that's what you wanted, bitch. I'm in my room.
This is my room. This is my stuff.
And I would remove this door, too. The first time you'd ever come up through this window, you'd be like, what the fuck? Because that'd just be a wall now.
Well, now you're inconveniencing my fat ass. Thanks.
Technically, it's still the recording room.
And it's still the recording room.
Seth looks at that window, and he's like, you fuck.
No, because I'd use the money, and I'd build a second wing over there and make it a recording room.
Fair enough. Okay.
See, that's what I would do. I would help out my friends, my family, because I have plenty of money.
Right.
Right.
What I want.
Right, no, I'd do about the same. The only difference is I wouldn't quit my job. Well, okay, I would quit my job, but I would find a different job, something I could work like 1 or 2 days a week just to get me the fuck out the house.
But like Bill said, I'm 30.
Right.
Still very young.
Yeah, that's
still
way
young.
You can go travel to Japan and do all the things.
Yeah, you can go
travel
the world.
If he travels to Japan, he can go see it.
Yeah.
He's not going to skydive. He's not going to better his life through education.
Well, he might have to skydive depending on what plane he gets into, but that's a different story.
Well, I'm just saying, there comes a point when winning the lottery doesn't actually do anything for you. It sets up the people after you, and then very much so, you can ruin a person by doing that, because if you pay their way through life, they could very well become these questionable fucking people.
Knowing what I know now. No, if I had a kid, I would not give. I would not. No, no. Life doesn't work that way.
Right.
So you say that now, but you don't know. Some people change when they have kids. I'll never spoil my kid. I'll never beat my kid's ass. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Fucking yelling, screaming, spoiled children because given too much shit and not enough discipline.
No, I because of how it is nowadays, different from how I grew up. When I grew up, if I did something wrong, it was called a belt.
You're getting an ass
had
weapon.
A belt?
I had a wooden spoon.
It's an ass weapon for being
right. I had a staircase.
I got a Switch once.
Oh, no,
and not a Nintendo Switch. I mean, I had to go get a branch off of a tree.
Yeah. Go get me something to beat you with.
Yes.
My grandpa made my mom do it.
Yes. My grandfather made me do it.
That was a fucking thing.
He was like, I can make you go get a Switch. I said, what's that? He said, go get me a branch off the tree.
My mom,
and don't bring me back something
my
small.
My mom and uncle.
Get it myself.
My mom and uncle, my grandpa said, go out there and get a Switch. And he's like, well, they're like, well, I don't want to do that. He's like, then I will go do it. And you don't want me to go get one.
Because by the time I get back, I'll be plenty pissed that I had to do it.
Yes.
So you better. You
know, and by the time you're coming back, you're literally swinging it around, cutting the air, going.
I think my mom.
Like, I don't want to be bad anymore. I'm sorry.
I think my mom even went out there to pick the smallest Switch she could find. My grandpa was going to pick
that.
The big one.
Oh,
oh
no.
My grandpa could have been. My grandpa was kind of a dick.
Uh-huh.
But this episode does play into certain foundations,
right.
And it makes a lot of sense. The monkey wants it, of course he wants it.
Wants
right. it.
Wants
the
money.
Turtles
wants
want
money.
It, yeah. And their argument is valid. Their lives are a guaranteed gutter syndrome. It will never get better for them. It doesn't fucking matter what happens. It will never get better for them.
And it's gonna. And to be honest with you, depending on
and
how
it will
happens,
end badly.
It's gonna end badly for one of them. Worse than any of the others. Think about it. Splinter dies. The four turtles could bury him somewhere at nighttime. You could do it.
One of them is just going to be dead in a sewer somewhere to be found by a worker
let's
someday.
Let's say mm-hmm. Raph dies next because of how reckless he is.
Right.
Now, Donnie being the smart one, you would assume...
This was Shitting on Your Childhood by William Bush.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, Mikey.
Mikey or Donnie, I believe, will be the last two to die.
You're thinking Leo?
Leo, because of how he is, battle-hearted, old Leo would sacrifice himself for his brothers.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Easily so. I see that easily.
Him and Raph would be the first dead.
Right.
Raph would go out swinging.
Yes, he would.
He would go out swinging because he'd have something to prove.
Yeah.
And sadly, that would be...
Yeah.
That's if they ever get taken out by an enemy. The saddest thing for them is the fact that they live in a sewer,
and
they could eat something that fucking kills
and
one of them.
Whatever, yeah. Whoever's the last one left, after burying his brothers, his father, who's burying you?
Nobody.
You can't bury yourself.
No one.
You're gonna die in the sewer, and somebody's gonna be down there going.
No, that's a lie. That's a lie. I could set up a Rube Goldberg machine where I could literally bury myself alive.
I mean, you got a Casey and an April in certain continuities that could
right.
maybe see to your cremation or something.
Yes,
but
right.
Leave no evidence.
But even still, that's still the truth of the matter that you are going to die sick in a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be up top.
So it doesn't. So it makes sense that Mikey wants a penthouse.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the truth. With money, they could leave America because we already know that she could fucking teleport. She has to be able to. And she could teleport them and they could go to an unutilized area in Japan, in the hills. And they could just build a small foundation to live out their life in the sunshine. And they could have items and things flown in that they could disguise as building a bunker, a security where they could stock foods and things like that.
They could even have like an underground area if they want to keep their underground.
That's
things
true.
Going.
That's a true so, thing. Yeah. They could have anything they want to build it. They could just hire a fucking guy, an architect, and say, this is kind of what we're looking for. And he never has to see their faces. He just has to receive a paycheck that says, fucking $10 million.
It does suck. It really does suck for them because, like, unlike us, man, if I saw four walking, talking turtles, I'm like, oh my God, that is so amazing. You guys want to hang out? I'd be your friend. I know. I grew up with you guys.
Right.
But the normal fucking person would be like, oh my God, get the fuck away from me. What are you? You're a freak. You're a monster. Get the fuck out. Die.
Well, in the continuities that they normally exist in, too, they're monsters because the comic book industry... Look, we know about the turtles. We grew up with them. But the people in the universes where they are, no. And in their universe, it's even worse now because of Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rita Repulsa is making monsters look bad.
They would immediately be viewed as monsters, not mutants, and they would probably be killed on sight if they were ever seen by anybody anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next episode.
The next episode is episode 12, Turtles Night Out. This is where Mikey does a podcast.
He's a DJ radio guy.
Pirate radio.
It's pirate radio. Yeah. It's actually highly
illegal.
This is
the episode I've been waiting for because now I can finally
This has this,
because
this.
Because somebody who sounds like Mikey from the 80s cartoon calls in to talk to Mikey.
This, we saw bad acting.
Yeah.
This entire thing. This, I have to believe this
I
is
like
the
that
worst.
Mikey has been getting pizza from some douchebag that's so fucking stuck on himself he won't even turn around and look at his customers.
Yep.
Right. He's like, leave money on the counter.
Yep.
Oh, and there's also the dumb anti-drug PSA at the beginning as well. Because the last one with Mikey in it was a real hoot.
Not only that, but this has the fucking, that gang. Oh, that rough and tough.
The unknownables.
Acting. Oh my god, their acting is...
AKA a horrible ripoff of Clockwork Orange.
You know, yep. it blows my mind, and I realize that... No, I don't get it. There's certain things in this that confuse me. Like, okay, they had the shredder.
Yeah.
They had the foot. Even if it was awful, they had it. But, yeah. like, were they not allowed to build on certain turtle foundations? Like, is there a reason that the dragon couldn't have been...
The weird thing is when I saw these punks show up, and start spray painting something with purple. I was
purple
like,
dragons.
Purple dragons.
Why not? At least it would have. Even if it would have been bad, it would have tied back.
Yeah,
right.
And then they could have. They could have made the bad guys, which would have made a lot more sense. Like for the disposable bad guys, they could have made them Umtrons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And then we get that gang
really. It blew my mind.
Not only does that blow your mind, but the return of the hunter and him dressing up in a chicken attire.
A chicken tutu.
Hey, don't you make fun of Piccolo and his chicken tutu.
His acting is bad.
Motherfucking chicken tutu.
I get it. This is a fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle live action TV show. You ain't going to bring your goddamn A game when it comes to acting. Okay? I get it. Please just put a percentage of effort into it. When you deliver your lines, because they are dreadful. The leader of that fucking gang, man, all I wanted to do was fucking shove that fucking stick up his ass.
That confused the fuck out of me. It's like, okay, you turtles have fought a shredder, battling a dragon lord, and is getting your shells handed to you by a guy with a
monster
stick.
Of the week, yeah. And then it's some random street punk with
this street punk knocks your ass down, Donnie.
Shane, he has your favorite weapon.
A stick.
You know, since the turtles were literally hunting for ass on the dance floor, I did think of something once again on the disturbing scale. The turtles are naked.
Yep.
You know, you have this thing that comes in pretty handy. Where you could see the hottest woman in the world when you're 14, and you can be wearing pants. If you lived your life on the nude beach and decided to dance with the hottest girl, she would know pretty instantly that thing is flapping around. And turtle dicks are literally long enough to touch their chins.
Yep.
And they are naked, and they are teenagers, and they are on a dance floor with ladies.
I'm going to tell you something right now, man. When we watch shows, we're very different. I pick out things that interest me.
Uh-huh.
You overanalyze too much.
Dude, I did.
Turn that part of your brain off.
He can't.
Stop talking about naked turtles.
Dude, I was there and I was like,
about turtle dicks?
Well, here's the thing. They're bringing it on. They're doing it because every single time we see the turtles, they're like hitting on Venus or they're like very interested in the other girls. But like, the turtles are animals and human hybrids. Yeah. And if they are teenagers, and holy shit, do I remember being a teenager, I used to have to walk with my books in front of me because that motherfucker wouldn't go away.
Yeah, I share the same anatomy as you.
You see? You remember the goddamn dick that wouldn't stop being a dick?
Oh, you mean the morning wood?
No, the school wood.
Dude,
oh, the school
that
wood.
Walking through the hallways and you see the fucking cheerleader bitches
I'm going to demonstrate what I did. Yeah, because, you know, I didn't feel like carrying my book bag in front of me like a fucking douche. Then I did this.
Oh, you just held it?
The adjustment?
I with my hands in my pocket, adjustment, walking.
All the time. Dude, look, I'm telling you, it's funny as hell to go to a school. Because when you're an adult and you see a whole bunch of guys walking down the hall tagging by ladies and shit, and they're holding their books in front of them, that's not because that's the way they walk.
Yep.
And every goddamn one of us knows because we had to fucking do it too. Now I'm thinking about mutant turtles and I realize they're naked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have no way to hide their corkscrew dick.
Right. And they're dancing with...
No, that's pigs.
They're dancing with, quote, sexy sheep.
And ladybugs.
Uh-huh.
Sexy sheep and ladybugs. And goddammit, I don't care how much control you think you had. When I was a fucking teenager, any fucking booby I saw, I was like, oh, fuck, oh, stop, oh, no, too late, there it is.
Being a dick, dick.
Yeah, yeah, being a dick, dick.
Yep.
Well, yeah. So,
which, that was the one upside that I had in fucking high school. I knew this motherfucker who constantly kept just fucking porno mags hanging around. So, hey, it's after school. I've been staring at tits and ass all day. Let's go look at actual tits and ass. So you know what I didn't have to do? Walk with a binder in front of my junk. I just thought about, eh, don't worry about it. I'll go see actual tits and ass later on when I go hang out with Bill after
Dude,
school.
It was, I'm telling you, I can't help but think human idea. I can't help it.
But this episode sucks really bad because of the...
If they weren't fucking teenagers, it would never have crossed my mind.
Yeah.
But they're fucking 17.
Yep.
And I couldn't wait to fuck...
16.
Yeah, they're about to be 17.
Yeah, they...
No, 16. They're 17 about to be 18.
Yeah, they're 17 about to be 18.
I could have...
No.
Yeah.
Because episode one fucking splinters.
He says you're all 17.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're look, all about to be 18 years old.
Oh, my
old.
God.
Fucking they're, act like it.
They're 17-year-old teenage boys.
Yes.
At a party mm-hmm. with a bunch of dancing bimbos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We all know what that's like. Not being a turtle, but...
Right, because I never had to dance with those girls.
Standing
naked.
With the microphone too far away from the face so it doesn't pick you up.
Oh, yeah?
I couldn't yeah. imagine. I couldn't imagine for the life of me.
No.
Well, couldn't do it.
Well,
can we move on to the last episode
last
now?
Last episode. You ready? Mutant Reflections.
This is where the episode starts out with them talking about which one's better, Batman or Superman.
Yeah, but that's because if you notice when it cuts to the fucking New York police in fucking neon LED lights, which I've never known a police station to advertise with neon LED lights, it says New York City Cops.
Sure.
There's a billboard behind that building, which is Batman and Robin and a Mr. Freeze that's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, so they were watching the best movie.
Yeah. They were advertising for fucking Batman in the Ninja Turtles, which is kind of ironic since the Ninja Turtles end up hanging out with Batman.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the next movie
the
for
next
Batman
movie.
Is Turtles and Batman.
Which is somewhat mirroring the first comic release that they had with the Turtles and Batman.
Yeah, they're on yeah. their... I think they just did their third one for that comic. Mm. I think.
This episode sucks, too.
This episode yeah, had does. The Doctor create clones.
This episode only bothered me with one thing. I was fine with the idea... In fact, This is what I would have done. I'd have had that doctor collect the samples. I'd have made the turtles. And since they obviously have multiple turtle costumes, I would have done all the bandanas in solid black. And I'd have darkened them up a little bit.
All red.
No, I'd have done them in all black. And the reason I'd have done it is because Slash, the prehistoric turtle, he had like the black crazy bandana and the spikes on his hand. I would have made four turtles. Added like spikes and whatnot to them a little bit on the costumes. Not anything that would have been super expensive. And I would have made dark turtles.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have given them solid black bandanas and made them a little more violent. And I'd have had them get away from the doctor. So he creates them. They start on his side. We have the fight. They escape the doctor. And now we have to deal with dragon, doctor, dark turtles. And it would have made a trifecta
and
of enemies out there somewhere.
And the monkey decided that they're going to be mortal enemies.
And the hunter. So now I have five different enemies I could pull from, but you would always be looking forward to that fight with the turtles.
But the issue there is you would have to have the dark turtles figure out a way to deactivate their self-destruction.
I would have never put those things on them. If I was in charge, I hated that. That they weren't fucking clones. They were like robots.
Yeah.
They were. They basically, because the second that they took those, even that when they were walking, them, they stopped.
When they were walking into the fucking thing, they're going gwee-gwee-gwee-gwee-gwee-gwee-gwee-gwee.
With the dumbest fucking looks on their face.
And I was literally downstairs being like, they're not fucking robots.
Did you see fucking Robo Leo? He's like,
yeah, they were not supposed to be robots. He said, I'm cloning them.
Clone.
Clone.
Obviously, this fucking doctor did not get a PhD.
He barely did.
So what you're saying is at one point in time, he was just somebody who was wealthy enough to donate to the school to get an honorary PhD.
There you go, because he doesn't have a real one.
It just kind of blew my mind. It really did.
The clones can have their weapons cloned, too, somehow.
I'd have changed the. I mean, they were on a gold mine here to finally pull this show out of the shit. There could have been a set of new turtles. They could have been dark turtles. They could have had different weapons, and it would have been like looking forward to the Psycho Rangers.
Yep, yeah. That's exactly what they would have been.
But instead, we got weird.
No, wait.
Robo clones.
Now, did this come out first, or did the power? Yeah, this.
They were
out
playing
first.
At the same time.
Yeah.
They were playing at the same time.
Roughly. And Space is the one that has the Psycho Rangers.
Because they started to realize that the ratings were bad on this. So they tried to boost ratings by putting these turtles in the Rangers.
Because Space was a success.
So the Psycho Rangers were probably actually thought of in the Power Rangers instead of.
Well, of course they were thought turtles. Of because the Power Rangers, we didn't think of the Dark Rangers.
Yeah.
No, did somebody.
The Sentai did.
I don't know if somebody brought this up in one of the comments or not, but. Were the Psycho Rangers? Were the Psycho Rangers just an American version, or were they in the Japanese version at some point?
What,
the Psycho Rangers?
Yeah, they're in the Japanese version.
Okay.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's
which means they were they
you can tell because if it's anything American made, mm-hmm. like Zed, you notice how anytime
he's
Zed,
never with the Rangers
because and remember that one time he fought Tommy, that was actually on American,
and they had to do it in the dry ice cave.
Yep. But the Psycho Rangers fight the Space Rangers, and you can obviously tell it's stock footage.
Okay, because I remember a lot of the scenes didn't look like stock footage with the
Psycho Rangers. Oh, yeah, they do. You'll notice it this time. It's probably been a while since you've gone through it. You'll see it. It's very
but
stock.
But Space is actually good. Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah.
Now, the reason Space gets away with a lot of shit is because they made a lot of extra scenes for Space because we fucked up the storyline and figured out that we made them like hardcore space fucking guys, and then when we finally got that shit over here, they were like digital ranger type things, and some of the storylines where we were like, fuck, what do we do?
Yep.
And they were like, fuck it, they're fucking film boogie boards and shit.
Yep. And you know what's really cool about space is that they weren't baked into a pizza.
Right.
Oh my god, yes.
But yeah. Like I said, though, I'm just not looking forward to the comments, because luckily, with all the downtime at work that I have now, since I have me from open to close, and, like, the last, like, hour at work is so boring, I'm actually, like, I'm not watching our episodes, but I'll get on and I'll read the comments section now, and, whoo, boy, is it getting ridiculous.
I've been seeing some of them.
Some of them are getting a little on the craze side.
But I've been seeing some of them, I've been seeing a good portion of them, like, okay, when the day it goes up, usually around the last 2 hours of the day, I'll set my projects to render.
Well, there's those.
And if I set my projects to render, I have enough downtime that I can at least listen to it in the background and finish off my scripts or whatever for what I'm going to have to do the next day.
Right.
And then during my last half an hour, I'll skim through, because at like 2:30, I'll usually skim through and look at all the comments. But that's you're thinking only like 130 views, like first day, first thing.
Right.
Yeah. But.
Right, no, but I'll keep going back, and I keep, you know, coming across people who are like, you didn't fucking do this right, and you guys didn't do that right, and what's with this, and you guys forgot about that.
Oh, why is that not in the order that happened in the show? Alphabetical fucking order.
This? Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Right? So, yeah, so like I said, this one.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, no, this one I'm actually excited for, because, man,
because
the people that are going to fucking hate that we ripped it apart.
Those aren't the people I'm looking forward to, but everybody
Bill,
else is going to be like,
Bill posted in the Facebook,
so right.
Facebook page about us covering this, and a lot, two of the people are already saying, yeah, they know it's shit.
Well, I'm about to go find it right now because I think we're at the end of our episode.
We are, and
okay,
so
here, there's a couple questions before we ever go to this, okay. Which we have three comments that we should that we have to address. Okay, here, guys. We haven't done this in a while.
Okay, go ahead.
Who was the coolest turtle?
Donnie.
He's Donnie.
Pass.
Nope.
Come on.
You got to pick one.
It's more or less saying who was the best of the shit.
We've done it for all. We did.
Which,
we used to do it for all the Rangers.
Stump the lest. Yes, lest.
Even when we gave Rangers zeros, we had to pick a best.
Yeah.
Venus.
Only because I cannot pick the fucking villain, because he at least made the episodes more fun.
Because he'd have picked the hunter.
Yes. Sadly, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Donnie. Because while he sucked, yeah, he... Although, don't get me wrong, Venus is, like, right there, too.
And I'm Venus. So that makes Venus and Donnie the only things in this show that stood out for us.
Right.
I believe they're the only ones that had some personality. Everybody else was a fucking retard.
Yep.
Okay. Our very first comment is coming from Josh Turnbull. This is...
Yay, Josh.
Ah, the 90s. The decade of Smash Mouth, Spice Girls, Backstreet Boys, Power Rangers, Star Trek, and Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation. I think I may have seen the entire series when it aired on Fox Kids back in the late 90s, I think. I do remember at least watching the 5-part pilot episode.
Yep.
I was 11 years old when the show aired, so it didn't grab my attention like the original cartoon had. I hope you guys shred it to pieces. Have fun.
Oh, we didn't shred it nearly well enough, but that's because usually our pieces we like to be kind of big, because some of those we can use later on.
Plus, we still got another half to go
through. Like going from ocean to Stonehenge.
Well, here's
Stonehenge
the thing.
To power.
Here's the thing. Tearing this apart would have been very simple. I purposely had to find areas where we could discuss something and make this a show.
Right.
Okay. The next was Mine Wife.
Yep.
Mine Wife says, sucks to be you guys. Damn it. Glad I didn't have to sit through all of this with you, winky face.
Don't worry, my girlfriend did. After episode 2, she checked out. After episode 3, she goes, I deserve sex for having to watch this with you. I said, yes, you do.
It was kind of worse for mine because she was sick during it.
Awesome.
Mine refused.
Yeah. All our ladies suffered through this catastrophe with us.
Yeah.
His lady was like,
fuck
I'm out.
You.
Your lady was in Connecticut. What
to be fair,
about?
She had Kentucky, a reason, she had Kentucky, a reason yeah. to out. She had
she,
a legitimate
had a reason
to out.
Had
not
reasons.
That we're going to bring up here, but yes, she had a legitimate reason to out.
And then when she came back home, she's like, you got to go out there and watch that.
But luckily...
I got to go to sleep.
Luckily, she yeah. won't miss the next 13.
at least sit her through the pilot, then the others.
Right.
You want the next one?
I can, yeah.
All right.
All right, so lastly, we have a Bradley Mitchell. I had not heard of this show until you guys mentioned it in one of your reviews. Out of curiosity...
You done
I went to
up.
Look up and
you
watch the
fucked up.
You done fucked up.
You done fucked up.
Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now
what
you fucked up.
Scene cannot be unseen.
You have fucked up now.
Yes.
That's like back in fucking high school when people are like, yeah, you just need to go to lemonparty.com. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Anyway, out of curiosity, I went and watched the first episode. Never again. Let this be recorded in the history books of children's television programs. Don't worry, it's recorded in the history of the Sentai Review.
Yep.
Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation is a mutated piece of garbage. Looking forward to you guys taking taking this show on.
Okay, that was our fan feedback that we got. I'm trying to make this more often, that I post what we're recording and give people a chance to kind of get in there. This one was very early. Normally, right, you would have had until 3 to get your comment in. This time, your comment had to be posted at like 10 a.m.
Yeah, because we had a party to go to that then got canceled while we were waiting for Shane to show up.
It's
and
true.
We're like, motherfuckers, we could have waited.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But, like I said,
but it is what it is.
The next part will be episodes 14 through 26.
And then we'll get to rate it.
Once we finish.
We kind of already know the rating.
So 14 through 26 will be reviewed sometime in the next 2024, 2025. We'll get to it. So enjoy that, because I don't want to do it again.
Well, don't worry, Shane, because, see, next we have to do, what is it, 1 to, like,
it's
10?
Like 15 episodes of Space.
Okay, so 15 episodes of Space. Then we come back for 13 of Turtles. Then we have 15 of Space and 15 of Space.
Yeah, as we even out and finish it off.
And then we're done with this. Done with this. Never again. Never again.
Oh, yes.
But Shane,
I think we might even do it. We might even do a special treat. When we finish the review of this entire fucking catastrophe, we might purposely throw this motherfucker on the bonfire and record its demise.
Well, shit, then that means somebody also has to go out and get you Prince of Persia. That way then, while this is being burned on the fire, Prince of Persia could be ran over in your truck repeatedly.
I really feel like we need to destroy this motherfucker.
There is one other piece of shit we'll have to sit through, though.
What's that?
Big Bad Beetleborgs. At some point.
It's terrible, but it's at
oh,
least
wait. And
watchable.
Then VR Troopers.
Okay, that needs to be fucking destroyed too, if memory serves, but it's been a while since I've seen that.
So we'll see you guys in 2024.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.